Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
February 20th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and welcome to the show. A lot of stuff to talk about, obviously, going into WrestleMania, the Elimination Chamber and some Raw and, you know, a few other things. But before any of that, I do believe I have back on the show Shane Strickland.
Yo.
What's going on, Shane?
Nothing much. Chilling, watching wrestling. DVDs, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a while since we had you back on. You had a, you know, big feud going with Rich Swann. I think it just got kicked off last time we had you on.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly.
So, you know, what's been going on?
Been really busy after since then.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like opportunities have been coming my way. A lot due to me and Rich doing our feud, and Rich actually putting in a lot of word for me in a lot of other places and a lot of other people, especially like Gabe Sapolsky from Dragon Gate / Evil. So
right.
that's been the direction a lot of my progress and everything has been headed towards right now.
Nice.
So that's picking up huge.
Yeah, I saw it, and it actually made me laugh because that whole, Wrestling Fear CZW thing was going on, and they, didn't really have any matches on it. Their plan was to do the Ultraviolent Underground more or less up against it, And meanwhile, Wrestling Fear at CZW with A.R. Fox versus Shane Strickland right on the card with the Evolve banner on it. I said, oh, man, look at this.
Yeah, like, it all worked out in the end, though, because, like, it was...
Sure.
We still got CZW Chance walking to the ring on Pro Wrestling Day, so that was pretty cool. I was like, you know, even if we didn't get a CZW match in on the card, like, we were pretty much house anyway, and we were still representing. We still had a booth. Still, like those, we, our CZW guys, we were representing Evolve, but, you know, deep down, everybody was like, oh, this is CZW right here.
Right. Yeah, they ended up getting the three-way on the card early, on the earlier show, so.
Yeah, I was happy for that.
You got to wrestle Cage of Death and all that stuff. I mean, you know, been on the iPay-per-view the whole nine since last show. You know, what's all that been like and whatnot?
Really after that, like, things have been, like, Rich was already, like, putting in work for me left and right. And pretty much the Cage of Death match with me and him, it pretty much, like, helped and, like, elevated me even more. And I couldn't have done that without any other person, but, like, Rich was just the perfect guy for that, and DJ knew that. That's why he put us together for it.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, Rich calls me and is like, yo, man, looking you up. Like, here's his early Christmas present, bro. I spoke to Gabe, and this is where the Peterson Cup thing came about, and he put me over for that. And so... he set all that up for me. He set me up to call Larry Dallas to hook up with a ride to get down there. So, like, the car ride was, like, about 16 hours from my house.
Wow.
And, it was a car full. It was me, Larry Dallas, Greek Papadon, Johnny Silver, and Joey Janela. So it was, like, a really packed car. And it was a great experience, though. And
what kind of car?
It was four doors, but it was like really tight. It wasn't even a truck, not an SUV. Nope, just a car. So we had to get our luggage and all our snacks and all their pillows, and everybody's like cramped in the back. Joey's in the middle. No matter what, Joey was sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
And he was riding, and it was just like big back pain the entire way, and then wrestling. It was cool. We were really taken care of the whole trip, and that helped. That doing the shows down there in Florida, like, once again elevated me to another level again. So, like, and the fans were awesome because they already knew who a lot of us were coming down, and so that's always cool to have that support in another region that you never wrestled in before, but they already know exactly who you are and what you do and what you represent, and so they were all supportive there.
Who else, who did you work when you got down there? That was Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first person it was in the first round, and I worked Joey Janela in the first round match.
Okay.
And I thought the match came out good. It was okay, but it was like, yeah, you know what? I still wanted to kill it, but, you know, this was okay for a first round match. And, like, guys in the crowd was like, Ricardo Rodriguez was in the crowd, Roderick Strong, Samoa Joe, there's some people down there. So they were like in the crowd watching, and Roger came up to me and he said he really, really, really liked our match, me and Joey's match. So I was like, hey, as long as, like, and Roger's known for being a really, really critical on people's matches. Like, he doesn't like a lot of stuff, but he, like, came, and then I came up to him and he was just like, yeah, dude, I really liked your match. Really, really enjoyed it. So I was like, oh, that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That went well. And night two is where it really hit, where, like, I wrestled A.R. Fox in the second round.
Okay.
And Gabe was tweeting during that match. And I think Gabe watched some of the first night. He ended up watching all the second night. And Gabe, like, was just really tweeting. It was really into our match. And this is, like, the second match. Like, this is the second match. Yeah. And we ended up, like, just going balls out. And this was Fox's first match of the night. He had to wrestle two more times after me. So for him to be like, yo, bro, we're going to go in. We're going to kill. We're going to go everywhere. For him to, like, have that attitude, and he has to wrestle two more matches after me was big for me, too. Like, that was really, really good for Fox to help me out like that. So we just went out. We went on the stage, did stage dives, did stuff off the – just did flips over the top. Like, everybody was just marking out, and they ended up getting this is awesome chance, holy shit chance.
Yeah.
And that really helped me. And then, like, Gabe was tweeting and watched that. So basically that match is what Gabe wanted us to have when he booked me and him for National Pro Wrestling. So once again, one opportunity led to another one, which led to another one.
Yeah.
And it just snowballs, and it just snowballs, and just gathering and gathering and gathering. And that's how a lot of things are just opening up for me that way.
Yeah, definitely. Then another thing you had, you know, just pop up too, where, you know, you're now going to be in your first Best of the Best.
Yes. Yes, definitely. This was a big, big dream of mine. Like, ever since I even, like, came to my first CZW show, and that was, like, Night of Infamy with when Adam wrestled Sammy for the World Junior Heavyweight title. And that was the first show I was ever at. And ever since that, I was like, wow, I need to get here. This is like, I need to get here. By this time next year, I need to be here. So it was like following Night of Infamy. After that, I was in the four-way for the Wire title. So that was a big accomplishment for me. Like, deep down, I was like, yeah, I made it. I finally I can chalk this off now. But for Best of the Best, it was another step. After seeing, like, the last year's Best of the Best was amazing.
Yeah,
and, that was amazing. And so I was like, it was like a whole nother goal, like a whole nother year. I was like, I need to be here by next year. So I was just like busting my ass. So I like cut any promo, anytime there was a camera coming, like floating around backstage, I wanted to be in front of it. I was cutting promos left and right. I was coming to training left and right, calling DJ, riding with DJ as much as I could, like staying at Sammy's house, like with Ray.
Right.
Like I was like just grinding. This is the entire year. I didn't even have a vehicle. I didn't have no car. I was taking trains, getting rides, getting cabs. I was just, like, that was my entire, like, year getting to this point. So it's like, it's just great to see all that, like, just all this pay off in the end. And, like, this is a really big dream of mine. So this is all my hard work and all my passion just came finally coming full circle finally.
Yeah, it's definitely big stuff. Best of the Best is the only CZW show that I've never missed one of. All the other tournaments and stuff like that, I've missed one or so. But I've been to every Best of the Best tournament, so I'm actually going to go to this one. So.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
I got to see you. You
got to
be there. You
got to. Yeah, I don't want to miss this. So, you know, definitely been one of my favorite shows to attend to CZW. I mean, there's so many people who shit on CZW and try to, like, you know, paint it as just a deathmatch company for years, ever since, I mean, even when the first one was out. I mean, it was the Briscoe brothers against each other. You had Winger in there. You had, I mean, just crazy talent. Hoobie was in there, like, and then plus all the CZW regulars, you know, the back seats and everything else, so.
Right.
You know, SATs and everything. So they were still getting painted in a negative light where, like, all they do is light tubes. And it's like, man, that's furthest thing from the truth, even though they're, you know, obviously they get noticed for that stuff, the, you know, big crazy bumps off the roof. People can't forget it. But there's a lot more to CZW than just that. There always has been.
Exactly. Like, I feel like the light tubes and, like, the barbed wire and getting thrown off of buildings, that's what got the buzz about it going.
That's what
hooked people in. And they're like, okay, this is something new and something crazy. They did this. We got to see what they're going to do next month or next week or next show. So that was hooking people, and it was bringing them in. But when they got there, it was like a whole mind shift because there was actually great wrestling going on with, like, Sanjay and, like, Blackout and Joker and, like, freaking Homicide and guys who were just going in, like Jack Evans and guys like that. And it just everybody's like, wow, there's actually great athletes here. What do you know? Like, and then like, oh, wow, and we get death matches and violence. And, you know, like, oh, like, what more can we ask for?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always been a good mixed bag. It's just, I mean, like, kind of like you're saying, like, it's the death matches are an attention getter for sure. So,
yeah,
kind of overshadow some stuff sometimes, but you just got to look at what you want and you'll find the best of both worlds, and CZW always have.
Exactly.
So,
like, just like the story I told last time I was on the show, like, how the myth of DJ Hyde and his, like, aura of violence, like, oh, my God, like, he came down here and he just, like, threw everything, and he hit a child, he kicked a baby, it was a puppy, and he shot it in the forehead. Like, I don't think he did all that, but, you know what, I think I'm going to see this for myself, and rather just, like, you know, word of mouth kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So what else has been going on? What have you been keeping busy with?
Oh, man, what else have I been doing? Huh. It's funny when somebody asks that, because, like, oh, what have I been doing? I've been, like, on Facebook and doing my Twitter thing a lot and grinding with that. Since the new year, I've just been, like, taking on other bookings and other opportunities, like, meeting with other people, like, branching out as much as I can.
Right.
And, like, since the new year started, recently I've wrestled in a four-way cage match in Virginia against, like, Zima Ion and, Jay Sin from the set. And, Bill Brown, and so they're high on me, and that got, like, that just opened another opportunity for me there, because Zima's really high on me now. We're, like, real cool. We text back and forth sometimes, and he hooked me up out in Pittsburgh, IWC, which that promoter saw me at National Pro Wrestling Day, so that opened up there. That now, like, my goal is to just, like, expand to overseas.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on now. So I'm trying to get that accumulated. February's starting to slow down a little bit for me right now at this point. Like, the first half of February was really good. January was, like, my favorite, a big part for me in January is, like, when me and Alex Cologne got to go head-to-head at Ascension, which was just, like, that was our time. I felt like that was just our time to just, like, all right, these are the new guys that's going to, like, elevate CZW in the next year or two. These are the two guys. These are the guys of the future we're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is the shit, man. He's definitely stepped up every time they've given him chances and put him against, you know, the Sammys or the Foxes and
oh,
that. So, yeah. I mean, he's definitely another one of them dudes for sure.
Oh, big time. He's honestly been, like, I've always said this, I put this on Twitter, like, Alex has, like, one of his, like, smartest minds in CZW. He's, like, incredibly crafty, very, like, very, very innovative technique, just, like, precise. He's quick, like, spot on. Not even just in the ring, outside of the ring. He's just, like, a really great mind that not a lot of people see. Not a lot of people see it at all. And it's, I hope, like, within the next year, the rest of this year, and then next year after that, just everybody starts opening up their minds and open up their eyes to what Alex really has to bring to the table. Especially like him and Danny Havoc, which had, like, probably one of the best death matches of the year last year.
Yeah, it was good. I wasn't really sure exactly why they did that, but it was definitely good. They're a feud, and they'd had a feud going on. But it just seemed like at an awkward time going into Cage of Death and just pretty much stealing a show with a death match, and you're like, wow, what was that? And then, I mean, they did that, whatever they want to call it, scaffolds and ropes and ladders, and that match was off the hook.
But, talking to the guy who had to follow that,
yeah, that's rough.
Man,
and not
like
only that, the iPay-per-view was fucking up heavy by the time your match came on, so I had to catch it on the replay.
Yeah, I heard about that. Like, I didn't even hear about, like usually, like, during the shows, I don't really hear if, like, the how the quality of the feed is going. So, like,
right.
After when somebody's saying something, like, oh, man, it wasn't that great, but it cleaned up. So, like, I didn't even get to hear about that. Like, even if I did, I was like, you know, I can't think about that right now. We gotta
now, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
You can't be trying to fix wires and shit or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it just happened at a, you know, bad time for you guys. But, you know, anybody catch it on the replay, you know, it was all good, so.
Right.
But, yeah, for Wrestling Day, you know, what was your thoughts on the whole thing? Because it was an interesting concept. I never seen anything done like that before. If it was done before, I just never really seen anything like that. So, you know, what was your thoughts on the whole thing?
I got there, like, I wish I would have been able to get there earlier, because I actually got there right after seeing CZW's match go.
Okay.
And, but, like, the crowd turnout was, like, awesome. It was insane. It had to be like 1,000 people. And it was really great, really great organization, how everything was just like put together well. Quack had everything like pretty much pinpointed accurately and on the back cards and everything. Everybody was just like, this is your spot, this is what you do, no more, no less. What I want, he like pretty much every single thing what he wanted. Right there. But
right.
Like, oh, this, that, and that. Like, so, like, everybody knew where they were going, what they were doing.
Right.
That was actually my first time meeting Quack at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so, he was nothing but nice guy to me. Really professional guy. I see what a lot of people say. Like, he pretty much has a mentality, just like it seems like he's talking down to certain people sometimes. Sometimes it's very slight, but like I could see it.
Right.
But he's definitely a professional leader. He's
right.
Definitely a leader in a professional manner. And I can
respect
that.
Do you see that as more or less a vibe, like he's not there to debate, he's got to figure it out? Because there is a lot of locker rooms that, you know, you hear a lot of feedback where so many of the workers politic, and they pretty much, you know, just politic their way to what's actually going to happen on the show, where
right.
So maybe Quack just has control, and he doesn't care what nobody says, he's doing what he's planning on doing. You think that's kind of what it is, or...?
I feel like he has leeway with certain people. Like,
okay.
Like, he will definitely, like, if somebody, like, because I've seen him, like, sit down, like, at that show, I've seen him sit down and, like, see everybody's opinion, hear everybody's opinion, see everybody's views, or get ideas from every angle. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Seen him do that. But, like, definitely, if he feels like something, like, okay, this is what I want, this is how this is going to work, because I know it'll work this way, then
right.
I feel like he's set on that. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because
right,
you're
right.
In that for a reason. Like, you can't have too many opinions at one time, because then it just gets clustery, and then you lose sight of what the original plan was. I feel like when he has a plan, bam, that's what it is right there.
Yeah.
But he's definitely open in certain areas, though.
Right. So, but as a whole, I mean, you know, it was a free show, to, you know, admittance-wise, and... you know, that's got to bring in a lot of fans. And then all these different things where, you know, different companies got together. And like you said, opportunities arise because so many different people from so many different companies get to see these guys work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a pretty big thing, right?
Yeah, a prime example of that is this dude, Sheeva's kid from CWF Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Kid, yeah, it came in and blew everybody away afternoon card. I mean, like, just was, like, amazing. I only got to see the replay of it because I wasn't there to see it live.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, after watching the replay, the crowd, like, lost it from the stuff this kid was doing. From seeing that, now he's in Best of the Best.
Yeah.
And, like, he's going to be in Aerial Assault at WrestleCon. So, right
there. Yeah.
Being at the right time, like, it just got so much exposure from him. from like right down in North Carolina, boom, you're coming up to Jersey for WrestleCon. We want to get you exposed. We want everybody to see what this is, see what you're about.
There.
It definitely showed a lot of new talent, like Surfer Mitch is another one who was just like, wow, this kid's actually amazing. This dude can go.
Yeah.
Like from in the ACH match. Like ACH, right. This was ACH. That was pretty much, that whole show was like dedicated, like ACH is coming out, which he definitely deserves more than anything. Because him and Chico Scorpio was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, ACH is unbelievable. He definitely needs more attention.
Yeah, starting to get it going up Ring of Honor and everything, but definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chiva Kid, I mean, I'm not a big Chikara guy, so when he went in there with the goats and stuff like that, I didn't see any of that. A little too many costume things going on in Chikara. So, I mean, it's obviously a popular thing, and there's a lot of things I don't like that a lot of people do, and it is what it is. If it makes you money, then shit, don't stop doing it, because I don't like it.
And
so,
Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah, I can't stand that shit. That shit got on my nerves, man. I had to stop watching it that day, and I was like, I'll get back to this later on. This is some Power Ranger shit. I don't know. I couldn't fuck with it. I was just like, this is no good. like,
yeah,
just like
it's not
employees
for me.
Fucking bugged out.
It's not for me.
Yeah. So I just, you know, but, you know, it's for somebody, it's entertaining, they, you know, to somebody, and that's why you do it. I mean, there's different styles for different people, and I understand that, so.
Right. Somebody wants to spend money on it.
Yeah, I'm never for, you know, something getting shut down as long as somebody likes it, so, you know, have at it, man. Do all you like. So I didn't see him, you know, when he was doing the thing in Chikara, and then, you know, I heard the buzz about it when I saw him on the National Pro Wrestling Day. I was like, wow. I mean, he looks like Jack Evans in a goat mask. I mean, this guy's
pretty much.
This guy's on point, and I had never seen nothing of him before. So I'm like, wow, this guy's gonna be pretty awesome to watch. And immediately invested the best. I mean, that's cool stuff. So I'm sure he's gonna be a very entertaining aerial assault match WrestleMania weekend. I'm sure he's gonna pull some big stuff out there too. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Definitely not a bad booking.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I mean, the Pro Wrestling Day, obviously, like you said, it got a lot of names out there and stuff like that, and people came together, and I guess they made some good money on the iPay-per-views and DVDs and all that stuff, so can be some money made off of it as well. But is that plan on being an annual thing? Did you hear any buzz about it, or...?
I didn't hear anything about it coming back or like being like a yearly thing, but I'd really actually hope for it to be. I just really hope that it does better with like trying to include all the actual best companies,
right,
in the country. Like, because to be honest, like CZW definitely does belong in that mold. It definitely belongs in the more highlighted area, because
Course. And especially if it's on the Northeast, I mean, it's not like this is somewhere CZW hasn't gone. I mean,
it's pretty much like, oh, the house across the street is having this big ass blowout, like bonfire type party. Everybody was invited except for the guys next door. Y'all can't come, even though we're using your parking space for everybody
right.
else. That's what it kind of felt like. Like we definitely do belong. In there somewhere in a highlighted position, not just like, oh yeah, we have these guys, this company, and here's CZW too.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, and I know that that's why they kind of, you know, launched that whole campaign and try to make some money off of it. And I don't think it's a single bit to do with wrestling fearing anything. It's politics. It's some people don't like other people, and that's kind of, you know, something that's always held wrestling back. The years that Ring of Honor and CZW weren't seeing eye to eye, you know, with Zandig, and Zandig never budged, and they just ran head to head on the same night. Come on, man. I mean, the people in that area would have watched both shows. They had no option. So, you know, it's egos and it's politics, and they just can't they can't not try to be better. But in the same token, you know, everyone wants to be better, the winner and all of that. But if people love wrestling and they try to make things work together, it's always better for the fans. But
yeah. Like,
I'm speaking from the low man, so I can't be the guy that says, "Hey, man, be nice with your money. I don't own shit." So,
but it's definitely true, though. Hey, let's all try to make money out of this instead of try to fight, like scrap. Since there was a showrunner over here, we only were able to get this. Well, let's like work together and try to like pull as much money together as we can. So just like settling. With, like, this a little bit. Let's look at the bigger picture.
Sure. Yeah. And, I mean, you don't even have to hold hands and, like, really go out of your way to help each other, but just try the best you can within your means to not bury each other, you know. And
right.
Look how we're running right up the street. There was part where they were running in the Murphy Rec Center and in this, you know, ECW, CZW arena. And it was like...
Yeah.
Dude, I could walk over there. This is bullshit. Like, what's going on? So, that's
basically, if they do decide to do this again, hopefully they truly try to involve everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And because definitely on the one page, they were definitely shitting on a lot of the stuff, especially on DJ about it. Like, well, we're trying to make a buzz. Definitely. Even if it didn't come off professional, it definitely started a buzz and made people interested more into what you wanted them to see.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's all about business, making money and getting attendance, putting numbers up.
For sure, man. Well, I think I want to take a break. I mean, if you're down to hang, man, I want to talk about the pay-per-view over the weekend and stuff. You're welcome to hang with me if you want.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
All night.
What's up?
I'm here all night.
Oh, all right. Cool. Yeah, I'm going to play a track, and then on top of that, I'm going to play Dude Eric... used to be co-host on the show and stuff, you know, I was chatting with him the other night, and I was telling him that thing is lately, you know, within the past, I don't know, at least 6 months, my listenership has been crazy, which I can't be more thankful about. I think is bananas, but in the same token, yeah, like back when we started this, even like the first year and a half to 2 years, I was doing some pretty good interviews. And even last year, some pretty good interviews and the listenerships on those, I can see the numbers weekly and they're low as hell. So I figure, you know what, let me, you know, dude just decided he's going to chop up some stuff for me, just little pieces of the interview. So if people want to hear some stuff, maybe highlight some stuff they didn't hear, maybe they'll go back and listen to it. Couldn't hurt, it's all free shit. So
right.
I'm play a track and I'm going to play a little sampler off of that. And then we'll be back, talk about some WWE and all this stuff. All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Relax and take notes while I take totes of the marijuana smoke. Throw you in the choke, gun smoke. Biggie smoke for mayor, the rat slayer, the hooker layer. Motherfucker, say your prayers. Hail Mary, full of grace. Smack the bitch in the face. Take her Gucci bag and a North Face off her back. Jab her if she acts.
Uh-huh.
Funny with the money, oh, you got me mistaken, honey. I don't wanna rape ya. I just want the paper, the visa, capisha. I'm out lighting the vapors. Who's the one you call, Mr. Macho? The head honcho. Switch this like Kumacho. I got so much dollar to be down with the stylistics. Make up to break up. Niggas need to wake up. Smell the Indonesia. Beat you to a seizure. Then fuck your mom. Kiss the skin to amnesia. She don't remember shit. Just the two hits. Her hitting the floor and me hitting the clit. Sucking on the tit. The hooker begging for the dick. And your mom's ain't ugly, love. My dick got rocked quick. I guess I was a combination of House of Pain and Bobby Brown. I was pumping around and jumping around. Jasper, then I asked her who's the man. She said B-I-G. Then I bust in her E-Y-E.
Your bitch is dead wrong. wrong. You're dead wrong.
When I get dusted, I like to spread the blood like mustard. Trust it, the hardcore rain leaves you rusted. Move over, Lucifer, I'm more ruthless, leave you toothless, you're kippish, I flip it. Hands don't affect me, I hit them with the tech G. Disrespect me, my potency is deadly. I'm choosing babies, no ifs, ands, or maybes. Hit mummy in the tummy if the hooker plays a dummy. Slip the wrist a little stiff. After she sucked the dick, I stabbed her brother with the ice pick. Because she wanted me to fuck him from the back. But smalls don't get down like that.
The weak and the strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong. The weak and the strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong.
Found your barber hiding in the room. Fucked him with the broom. Slid him down the back and threw salt in the wound. Who you think you're dealing with? Anybody stepping to my path is fucking feeling. Hardcore, I got it sucked like a pussy. Stab it to your gushy, so please don't push me. I'm using rubber so they won't trace the semen. The black demon, got the little hooker screaming.
Weak and strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong. Weak and strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong.
Off because I have on the line the one and only Teddy Hart.
Yakuza.
Just another guy that was jealous, but had a point that basically I had been in the dojo when he really needed a job, and I didn't really care about the opportunity or job that I got.
Yakuza.
Guys are overlooked, like I say, hardworking guys like Ricochet and Pac, El Generico. There's so many good guys that are overlooked, and then you
Yakuza.
NWA champion, which really means fucking nothing, but it sounds cool.
Not
NWA
anymore.
Champion. There's that Capucci monkey that's in the movie Hangover. Imagine that monkey. There's got to be one in Thailand or somewhere out there. I got a guy that's training some monkeys in Mexico. But, I mean, you could have a monkey basically do a couple different things. Like, if you were sitting in a move, maybe the monkey could sneakily tie your shoes together.
Yakuza.
It's just Shawn Michaels is still going, and Shawn Michaels is still able to have a match with me, technically speaking, and it might be the best match ever in wrestling history, but nobody wants to put me over.
Yakuza.
I've been in a situation a couple times where I looked death straight in the eye, and I was going to probably kill myself, too. But I did. We both took the high road and never did. And you owe me one, and you still might not want to acknowledge that, but you owe me one. So I'm going to say that now. What was I talking about? What was your actual question?
Yakuza.
On YouTube, and you think about what you could do to your cat if you trained him every single day. And cats love treats more than porn stars love pussy.
Yakuza.
Before imagine the horse jumps the top ropes and stops the fucking ref from making the count.
Yakuza.
I don't want to give away too many of my ideas on that one because it's really... TNA loves stealing his ideas and WWE.
Yakuza.
You know, they love the Hart family and they're always looking for the Hart family to come up with something new and entertaining, but now we're at a lull. And hopefully, like I say, I'm not really trying to disrespect Brett. It's just that Brett's got a lot of power and Benoit's not around anymore, obviously. God bless his soul. And Owen's gone. So is Davey
right.
Boy. So is my grandfather. So it sort of leaves me, the last one carrying on the Hart name, wearing the pink and black.
Yeah, so we're back. That was Teddy's a crazy motherfucker, man. I told him right there in that interview that I said you sounded batshit crazy right now. he said I might sound batshit crazy, but I'm telling you the truth. I said all right. You know. You still there, Shane?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yeah. All right. He's a he's a very colorful dude, that's for sure.
You gotta send me all them links because I want to listen to every last one of them shits.
Yeah, I mean they're all on iTunes, chilling. I mean, you can go on Blog Talk and get them. You can go on iTunes and get them. They're all just sitting there, man. They're great shit. And that interview was. It was something else, man. He's got quite the ideas in his head. I'll give him that. He is one creative dude, and he's not shy about saying shit. So.
Yeah, you're talking about Teddy, right?
Yeah, Teddy, man.
Oh, man, that's shit. That's another thing I always wish I would have met, like, on the heydays of CZW. I really wish I would have been able to, like go with Teddy and meet them guys.
Yeah, shit, I forgot to pull it up, too. They're doing something this weekend. Oh, man, let me see if I can pull it up while talking. I sound like a fucking idiot, but probably not going to happen. They're doing something on Friday, and it's like an iPay-per-view, and it's going to be broadcast on Saturday. It's like a, you know, delayed iPay-per-view thing. And it's like this tournament they're doing. I believe it's in Canada. And crazy. Let me see. See if this pulls up the roster. It's supposed to be like, I think, 3 4-ways, 2 guys advance from each, and then in like a 6-way main event type thing. They got I'm just trying to think off the top of my head while this page loads, but I think first round Teddy's match is going to be Teddy, both Young Bucks and John Morrison in that first round match.
Good God.
Yeah. The 12 combatants in the tournament is Teddy, Davey Boy Smith Jr., John Morrison, Flip Kendrick, Brian Cage, Jack Evans, Samurai Del Sol, Jay Lethal, Young Bucks, Davey Richards, and Sanjay.
God damn.
So, yeah. That's some badass shit right there.
Oh,
and it's called Next Generation Wrestling. And I think it's kind of a crossover promotion also with AAA. And it's like AAA Canada type thing.
Okay. I did hear a little bit of something like that, but I didn't hear the event at all.
So, yeah. I mean, the poster for the thing, they got Kevin Nash and Conan and all sorts of people on it. So, I don't know who else is actually involved in that show. But just that tournament alone, you know, whether it's the 3 4-ways and the main, you know, 6-man right there, has got to be worth the money at a card. So, that's...
Yeah.
I think it's like $12-$13. It's a iPay-per-view. So, NextGenerationWrestling.tv, if anyone wants to check it out there. So, pretty interesting to me. Yeah. That's that. I don't know if he's going to have monkeys tying people's shoes up on this one, but we'll have to see.
Right.
The Elimination Chamber. I actually ordered this and got heckled by people because this is the first pay-per-view I've actually ordered WWE-wise, because I've ordered quite a few iPay-per-views, but not so much on my TV that cost me $50. So
yeah,
I for whatever reason, I'm getting all stupid and hyped up for this WrestleMania, and I'm like, all right, you know, a couple things I was getting into, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have a little WrestleMania party, whoever wants to show up, you know, order it on my TV. So I was like, all right, I'll pay for that. So now this one's coming up, and I'm sitting there on Sunday, and I'm like, shit, do I want to deal with this fucking stream that's going to be fucking on and off, like watching my computer with a strobe light on it? Am I going to, you know, with pop-ups, and I got to keep Xing the damn pop-ups out, and I got to, you know, restart my computer 3 times during this thing. It's like I'm playing a video game. I got to keep hitting the button and stuff and just making this work. And like, come on, man, it's in the middle of the match. And I'm just like, you know, fuck it. I just got the tax money. So I got just a couple bucks to spend. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to order it. And at least that'll give me a trial run too, to see what's going on for Mania. Cause God forbid the day of Mania, I'm like, oh, I don't even know what to do. So I'm like, all right, let me just do it. Yeah, I put it out there. Yeah, I just ordered it. People are texting me and private messaging me. You paid for it, dude. What's wrong with you? I'm like, all right, come on,
it's
man.
It's a new generation. We don't pay for shit.
I know. I already know, man. I fought myself to do it. So I was like, fuck it, but. It was a couple hours not worried about anything pausing. There was no pop-ups on my TV. I was like, well, you know. And it was pretty entertaining. There was a lot of bullshit, but... So they started off the show with Show Rio. Fucking The Big Show in Del Rio, and I can't stand the fucking Big Show. I don't understand. Now, from what I know, you know, as even as a fan, a lot of times when these guys go into locker rooms, if you have similar moves, like one guy will tell another guy or the management will tell you, like, just don't do that move. Like, just, right. You know, the other guy's doing the move, don't do the move. So, it's still in the first match. The Big Show has to do that bullshit version of a Vader bomb that he does. Meanwhile, you got Swagger and Mark Henry that do a better one that are in the same match later on in the card. So they got to work that shit out. And you doing some bullshit at 400-something pounds in the first match. I'm just like, what? He completely missed him. Like, looked like he was doing a girl push-up over the top of fucking Del Rio the way he landed. I'm like, this is some bullshit. So,
this is a funny thing. You ever notice how Del Rio's like the king of opening pay-per-views? He's the king of opening pay-per-views. I don't know what that trend started with. Like,
I think that's that title.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that's
that
title.
And he's always in
that
one with it.
Yeah, I mean, but last WrestleMania, they had Daniel Bryan and Sheamus open up with it, and that lasted, what, 9 seconds?
Yep.
It was like, oh, that was all right. Way to bury that one. But, so they, you know, they went back and forth and, you know, it wasn't completely horrendous for what it was on being Big Show. I think Del Rio's trying his ass off to work himself as a face and, you know, some people think it's working, some people think it's not.
I think it's working. I think he busted his ass off to, like, especially with Big Show in that SmackDown match when he won the title back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you know what? I got to stand up and clap for this man. He busts his ass to get this.
I think it's working. I thought he. Yeah.
He actually got a lot of babyface pops for that. Like, you're really rooting for him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think it's working. It was a hard go to begin with for me because, I mean, he played such that arrogant heel. Like, they just straight took his cars from him. I don't know how that's a face push, but they're just like, you don't drive cars anymore because people don't like driving cars. So, part of his face push was like, he doesn't drive cars anymore. Now he just walks out. So, but he had like a real good arrogant rich guy heel thing going, and so it's kind of a weird transition. They did that with a few guys, with him, with Miz, you know,
it's not working at all.
That's not, because he's still a dick. He's like, yeah, I'm just supposed to be cool with it now, all right? So it worked, and what I noticed too when he kept working the armbar in the match, and it just looked like he had an armbar on a manatee at some point. Like, dude was just flopping around in the middle of the ring, and it was just like he was just abusing a giant sea animal. Like, it was fucked up. I just was like, this is some shit. He's like squirming around. It was just like this. It just looked like I don't know. Like some old.
What am I gonna do with this massive piece of body?
Yeah, it was believable as it was going to be, but I don't know. It looked like someone jumped into the Walrus show on in SeaWorld and just flipped out, grabbed the flipper. I don't know. So gladly they didn't put, you know, Big Show over in that. They kept Del Rio over. So that's what it is. I wanted that to end. I can't do any more Big Show. I just need that to stop. I need him to just sign autographs, maybe do something in the back, hold up
Andre.
Part of the ceiling. I don't.
He needs to be Andre. He needs to just show up, make appearances.
You mean die? I was thought about that.
That's cold. No, like he needs to be the spectacle. Like it's like back in Andre the Giant days, is like, oh man, like it's rare to see a wrestler that size. Like it was just a spectacle seeing him. People paid to just see him, not see him get in the ring. It was rare when he got in the ring. Like, he needs to get to that status again, just like, wow, like, he's here. But then again, that's what Khali's for. And then again, he's in the ring, like, every night.
Yeah.
Wasting space.
Damn sure is. I mean, they could just, like, you know, give a couple of the beams in the building, like, a vacation and just let Khali and Big Show hold them up. It's like, and sending beams off on a cruise or something. It'd be fine. Like, hey, look at this. Isn't that Big Show holding that side of the building? Yeah, it is. All right, then. You know, and just people move on. They'll reminisce.
This is more.
Everybody threw Rey Mysterio in WCW. That was cool. All right.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then speaking of The Miz, the next match was U.S. title, Cesaro versus Miz.
How did that go? Because I didn't hear anything about it. I was trying to, like, watch this pay-per-view, but, like, my computer is acting stupid as well, too. So I was like, you know what? I might as well listen to Facebook. They'll tell me.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it was a really good match, even though, like, I don't like The Miz's personality. And as a heel, I wasn't supposed to. So now he's a face, and I still don't like his personality. So it's like, well, now I'm not supposed to, so fix that shit. So I don't like that part. But I've grown to like Miz as a worker. I think that he can work in a match very well, honestly. You know, maybe it's just me, but this, I mean, I don't know. I liked it. It was a good match. Cesaro was working Miz's shoulder over, and Miz was working over Cesaro's knee. So it was like a real – they were both targeting those body parts, and they were staying with it. You know, the whole match, they were staying with it. And Miz was working the knee, and Cesaro kicked his other leg out while he had his leg going for the figure four. And forced, Miz kicked the leg out and then made dude fall and, like, hit him in a kind of like a low blow type thing. And
Miz?
Then he called for the DQ.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And so it was like that type of thing where, you know, he didn't mean to low blow him, but he was going for the figure four. Cesaro kicked his leg out and made him fall into his shit, and then he took the... He took the DQ, so that was that kind of thing. You know, it was what it was. Kind of, you know, screwdrop finish, but it was a good built match until then because they were really going back and forth and working a body part and, you know, really athletic match, too. I thought it was good. But the finish just kind of, you know. I like, you know, those type of finishes I expect to do to, like, to see build up to a pay-per-view and then the pay-per-view match to come with a legit finish. But again, I guess we're just shy of WrestleMania. They need something to build also to that. So.
Yeah. Like the build-up matches going into Mania is going to be a lot of like screw finishes or some like unfinished story type stuff. So it's like, well, I'll just take this and like see how they continue that. Yeah,
it's understandable.
Yeah.
But so then the next was the Elimination Chamber, which always kind of creeps up on you, especially if it's that or sometimes the Royal Rumble match, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Right.
But
right.
Because they plan on going along with it.
Which I had a dispute with my buddy about it. I'm like, they're going to main event Rock and Punk, and they're not going to main event the Rumble. He's like, they're going to main event. You got it's the Rumble. I'm like, yeah, but. This is the business side of it. Rumble is not a business thing.
Right.
That's the business side. They're going to, But, like, Elimination Chamber, once again, The Rock is the business side. Of course, they're going to have them run after the Chamber does.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Elimination Chamber. I thought they did it really well. You know, Daniel Bryan and Kane in there, they played the role of like the tag team partners that couldn't get along, weren't seeing eye to eye. So that's two people that pretty much cancel each other out. You had Mark Henry and Orton going into it, going back and forth, teetering, you know, fighting each other weekly, more or less. Jericho doing his thing and kind of, I mean, that's another guy that they're kind of pushing as a face, and I don't understand it because, I mean, he spent probably his whole last run here as a heel.
Such an amazing run, too.
Yeah, really good stuff, and Jericho's a great heel.
Yeah.
But, you know, to bring him back, and now he's like a face, you're just waiting for him to screw somebody, and it's like, well, you know, I guess this is what we're doing. So he's just kind of there. You know, he's been doing great ring work since he's been back. That great match with Daniel Bryan and all that.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Might Have Just Fucked Myself Out of Everything, Jack Swagger, which we'll get to after that. But I really like what they're doing with him. Not to jump ahead of that, because I'm not going to the recent incident, but I think there is nothing, not only for Jack Swagger's push, is this a really great idea, what they got him doing. It's instrumental in fully getting Alberto Del Rio over the hump as a super face.
Yeah.
Because you get a guy who has this crazy racist gimmick type thing, and then a face Mexican champion. I think that's, there's nothing you can do to make that guy look bad at that point. When someone's yelling, I don't like the color of your skin, and the other guy's like, I'm just out here insiguring him in the face for that. You
right.
know, like, they're gonna pop for that. And I mean, you'll get parts of the country they don't, but that really
right.
doesn't matter. That's not what sells things.
I feel like that's the reincarnation of, like, Angle Guerrero a little bit. Which is trying
yeah.
to do with Swagger a lot. They've been trying to do this a lot lately, like reincarnate certain feuds, but like twist it a little bit. But like,
yeah.
That's where I see that going. Or like Guerrero and JBL type esque thing.
Yeah.
The whole
yeah, I think rule. They're going a little further with it. They're using that RJ Brewer, you know, what worked with him and got him big news. You know, John Walters, RJ Brewer.
Right.
He was doing big stuff with that over there, doing like the whole, you know, border jumper, keep the people out of the country. And,
yeah.
you know, he caught NBC, CNN, like all those news things were like, this wrestler is out of control. And it's his gimmick. And he got over so huge that he hit news markets. And WWE looked
yeah.
and was like, shit, we can make money. And
right.
Sure enough, that's the next thing they did. But the thing I really liked about this, too, and I like Mark Henry, I always have, but the guy to me has always looked the most like a human hippo that I've ever seen out of anybody. not just because his size, but I've never seen a human with his eyes sunk so far into his head like that.
Right.
So I've just always thought he looked like an angry hippo, and they kill more people in Africa than lions do. So you know that's a dangerous thing right there. And he just plays such a great role as a crusher. He's super strong. Everybody knows that. And he gets fired up, and you can't see his eyeballs anymore. And he played the role. And so, you know, I've gone with, you know, Henry Hippo and that type of stuff while I'm watching. And one of the Hungry Hippos was named Henry. I think it was the orange one. But then
the black one.
Yeah, there was no black hippo.
There should have been a black hippo. There should have been a black hippo or the blue one, if we want to go there.
Purple hippo. But the other thing is there's a nickname for a hippo that's called a river horse. And so the whole pay-per-view, I was yelling river horse. And that was my go-to with him. It's like river horse for the win. And I actually predicted Swagger to win the thing. So that was no surprise, but it was cool because everyone was more or less at a stalemate. And river horse came in, put Daniel Bryan down. A minute later, put Kane down. I don't understand this other thing with the Elimination Chamber. They start talking about this Lexan. I've never heard the word Lexan in my life, but they're like, this Lexan, this stuff is stronger than the steel outside. You're better off. When everybody's locked in it, they're like, this Lexan, you're never getting through it. You're better off trying to chew through the metal on the outside. And then as soon as you get someone like Mark Henry, he just launches people through it. It's just like, you just fucked that whole argument up.
Next year's Elimination Chamber will be made of pure adamantium. And then,
yeah.
like, somebody's going to punch right through that. They're like, ah.
Nobody's going through the outside of the cage that they said you'd be better off trying to escape through that shit than the Lexan. And then Lexan jobs to Orton straight off. It was just like, oh, damn. So then after that, yeah, Kane out the River Horse. He just took out the former tag team champions, like, immediately. Let me let this cat out of my room because he's still yelling now. That was it. I mean, they they're definitely teasing breaking that tag team up, which I think is a damn shame.
So many times you can say yes and no.
Well, Daniel Bryan will still be doing that for the next 3 years. It doesn't matter about that tag team.
Yeah, that's true. There's only so long you can argue about yes and no. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Then they hit the Codebreaker RKO combo, and they get rid of River Horse. He's out. He hits the RKO out of nowhere on Jericho. He's out. So now it's down to Swagger. Well, yeah, it was down to actually, my bad. It was down to Orton, Jericho, and Swagger. When Henry got eliminated, he came in and gave everybody the shit. The World's Strongest Slam. He put it on all of them. And then that's when the RKO got hit on Jericho. Came down to him and Swagger. Swagger, you know, quick roll up, heel pin. And they win that. They run away with it. But like I said, I think that was just 100% the right move. When you looked at that whole thing, you were like, all right, I mean, if you're going to break anything out of Team Hell No and put them against Del Rio at Mania, what does that mean? What do you, like, there's too many loose ends. Henry, I mean, you can, but he's kind of a face too, even though he's a monster. He's really not, completely heel.
A lot of people were excited to see him back. So it's like,
sure.
Yeah.
And Jericho, they're kind of pushing face, so they could have turned him and put him there, but it would have been thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves Randy Orton, that I don't think anyone wants to see fight for a title right now. So.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it made all the sense in the world, especially, you know, racist and doing the whole promos about illegals and people coming into the country, and I don't understand their language. And I mean, come on, he might as well have dropped Del Rio's name in the first promo.
So what happened to start that whole issue, the racial issue?
It was just the way that they repackaged Swagger. When Swagger came back out, I think he ran in like SmackDown, maybe Raw once. And just ran in, like, pretty intense. And I was like, oh, wow, he came back a lot more intense. Still had the same bullshit music and everything. And then they brought back Dutch Mantel with him, like, the next week or so. And he came out and cut a promo, like, we're about to clean this country up. And, like, I fought in the war with his father. And, like, we stood up for this country for blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'm looking around in this crowd and there's people who don't look like me and there's people who I can't even have a conversation with, and like saying some shit like this. I'm like, yo, this, I already, as soon as I heard all of that, I'm like, he's going for the title. And by the end of the night, they're like, oh, he's in the Elimination Chamber. I'm like, that's something. So I kind of,
I can see how that can work. Because, like, once again, our TV audience is very, they're ADHD. They don't pay attention really quick, so everything has to be faster, and we don't take our time with a lot of stuff. Because TV moves so fast, so we move fast. And with Mania coming around the corner. But I wish, like, they could usually find a significant reason why somebody is a heel or a bad guy or has an opposite thought or like they have an opposite view.
Agenda.
Here's my thing. Like, this is the last two times I honestly saw on in WWE program where this was done really well was Jericho and Punk. Punk being more recent, Jericho's being him and Shawn Michaels in 2009 when Jericho got the title back, the heavyweight title, when he punched his wife. That awarded.
Right.
There was a significant reason why he did not like Jericho. I mean, Jericho did not like Shawn because Shawn cheated with cheated in the match with Batista. He faked his knee injury,
right.
Therefore, and then still was babyface, and the crowd accepted that. And when and that bothered Jericho. He's like, "You cheated in front of everybody. You like lied to us for weeks now, but these people still accept this." No, I don't. I'm not accepting that. I'm doing something about it. That's a significant reason not to go bad, but to just go opposed to the face. That's a
mm-hmm.
significant reason, and that would piss me off. That would piss a lot of people off. Oh, because it's Shawn Michaels, y'all are it's okay with it. Just like when Punk, when Cena had that match with did the whole Nexus angle, and he lost. He was supposed to leave Raw, but came back on Raw the next week. Oh, because of Cena, it's okay. That you know what, this pissing me off. I'm going to go do something about it. It may not be the right thing, but in my view, it is the right thing. If they could use those elements and put that towards Swagger and Del Rio, that could elevate and get more emotional, get
sure.
a more emotional draw towards that. Because it's like, oh, like I wish they could be like, oh, I lost my job because something with a Mexican-American or Mexican somebody of that descent caused me to lose my job like months ago, and I came back. Oh, I'm going to state this problem now. Oh, now I see why he doesn't like Mexicans or doing the racial angle because this affected him and it wasn't fair towards him. But we like Del Rio because Del Rio is a good person. He's a good wrestler and we like him. Oh, but you shouldn't like him because yada, 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 his history.
I agree with you, and I think they would have tied all those things together. This is why I really like this so much, because, I mean, if you look across the WWE, there's really not many people you can even define as heels. Even if they're, as far as WWE standards heels go, like, Ziggler is not a heel. No matter how
not
much they
all.
Want him to be a heel, they could surround him with all the people they want that people are supposed to boo, but people like Dolph Ziggler. There's not,
see, that's
not
the
a
issue.
Heel.
That's the issue. Cause
so,
because they like him based on his work rate.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, amazing in the ring.
And
sure. I feel like Ziggler doesn't have that killer mentality. Something about you has to be to a point where, like, you're a killer. You have that killer mentality that you do something that just, like, puts people over the edge. And I was always told this, like, back in, like, when I was back in Virginia, one of the guys that trained me was Neil Sharkey. He, like, helped me with promos and storytelling and everything like that. He was a good manager down there.
Mm-hmm.
He always preached, like, these are the elements that you can always come to when trying to be a heel or get heel heat. Like, religion, political views, financial issues, recreation, and I believe it was family. And
right.
The thing that got Punk over to that killer mentality was when he was doing the whole straight edge society thing, because he stepped on
right.
slightly religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really eerie and creepy, and he was catching people. He was catching so much heat for it. Ziggler needs to get to that point where he's like pulling from those elements and like getting so much heat for it. Because right now, AJ's stealing a lot of his heat. Big E is stealing a lot of his heat, but Ziggler's doing jobs week in, week out.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, if he was, like, getting wins, like, significant wins, and he was, like, pressing on an issue or something like that, he'd get heat, but he's not getting heat at all. He's getting, like,
you know what, though? A lot of it's weird. A lot of it's really weird, even, you know, going back to what you're saying as far as Punk and what he was getting over. He was getting over with the, you know, as you'd say, kind of like a religion and a cult following and that type of thing. But do you understand that Punk and his promo ability was getting over the fact that he didn't do drugs or alcohol as being a heel to a PG audience? That's
right.
I think that's more of a talent to CM Punk than it is the company doing the right thing, because I don't think they could have done that with a lot of other guys in that locker room.
True.
You know, so it's weird because it takes that talent of a guy in order to get something over that they might be trying to do. Because, again, Ziggler, not a heel. I mean, who else is supposed to be their super heels right now when you look across the board?
Well, it would be an awesome thing for him to do, like Ziggler to do. It would be like his thing is showing off, right? It would be cool if he would, like, do something where, like, he would press on handicapped people. Like, pull a person – well, this is a PG era. I don't know how far he could go with this, but he has to push those lines. He has to, like, push, like, get controversial. Like,
right.
Like, pull,
I
pull
don't think it's a PG era anymore. I think you're right, but I don't think it
now
is.
Now he
right
has more leniency. Yeah, now at this time he has more leniency than they did, like, three or four years ago, actually. But, like, now I think he should be, like going towards handicapped people, like people who can't walk, and do like his headstand in front of him saying, ha ha, I'm a show off, doing that vignettes, like with people who have mental disabilities. And it gets to the point where he gets to JR and makes fun of his handicap. Now he's pushing the line, because who doesn't love JR? Like, now he's pushing the lines, like, oh, like, don't, okay, that was, okay, we don't like you, but, oh, you don't, now you're touching JR. Well, you don't touch JR. JR is
right.
a guy. That's like now a fan, heel, a significant heel, and then he has to have a killer mentality to do something to push it beyond the line. And Ziggler's not doing that. He's just, hey, there's a big black guy here protecting me, and then AJ, who's like sucking off everybody in the back, she like got in this position, and I have money in the bank too, but we forget that because I'm losing matches every week. So it's like, oh, you're falling into the shuffle.
Yeah.
He's scratching the surface, but he's not breaking through the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, he can challenge a former WWE star to a foot race and bring draws out. You know,
something significant, like something that's memorable.
Challenge somebody, like, to a long jump, bring Zach Gowen out. I mean, there's things you can do
to
play games, and these guys were under contract. They might play ball. They'll take a paycheck.
Oh man, what is my dignity compared to a WWE paycheck?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's things they can do, but so you know, beyond that, because again, I think this comes down to more the talent of the guy to make it a heel, and it's nothing against Ziggler. It's kind of just the position that they're putting him in, but the position that they put Jack Swagger in just now, I think, was unstoppable. There's nothing to make people not hate him when this was all said and done. By Mania, he would have had people almost rioting. But he was just caught in his car, drunk, driving, and with weed in the car.
That'll do it.
Now what? shit.
Shot himself in the foot.
Man, he's already locked in for a title shot at Mania, and they had him doing huge mic time, you know, Dutch Mantel out there, Zeb doing the thing, and I don't even want to go into what could be going through this guy's mind, because who knows, but...
They invested a lot into him then. They invested a lot.
They sure as hell did.
You gotta be smarter than that, man. Because guys, man, it kills me. Because like guys, like on our, like guys on the indies would like kill to, like, they'd kill to get opportunities like that. And they were like, hey, I'm not going out. I'm sitting in the hotel tonight. I'm not doing anything to ruin my opportunities.
Well, I mean, you can say that to an extent too. But I mean, look like a Plaxico Burress. I mean, you know. There's guys in high school going, just give me a shot, man. Fuck all that going to club shit. I'll just run routes on my days off. Like, you know, you'll always hear that, but I mean, it's just a certain, I guess, level of whether it be fame or just buzz or whatever is going, that it stops mattering. I can't put words to it to make it make sense, but
it probably wasn't even his weed. Did anybody ask that? He's the ball guy. This ain't my weed.
Well, shit. Nobody jumped out of the back seat saying that wasn't. I would have damn sure had at least one of them with me. I mean, if you had that type of money, but man,
like,
that's,
I have no idea where that ounce came from.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what goes through someone's mind to let that happen. I mean, you can't even make sure that wherever you're going just got some. If it's gotta be happening, if you gotta be smoking, you can't just make a couple phone calls and be like, "Yo, I'm coming over there. Make sure you got some of this." Like, you gotta be riding around with it in the car like a retard.
Yeah, like stash pot, man. Invest.
Stash chick, stash somebody.
Stash box, bro. Come on. 21st century. Get your mind right.
Yeah, it's just, and drunk in the car without nobody driving you. I mean, Zeb can't be driving you. Nobody can be. I mean, Zeb's cutting promos so you don't sound all lispy on the mic and nobody can drive your car around a little bit. Man.
Wait,
but,
Just kill yourself.
But now, I mean, what do you think happens now? What do you think happens? I mean, this was their master plan. They had this set up big.
It was going
to Mania. I don't think they're letting them keep it.
They won't. Like, this would have been a big, significant Mania moment besides the Money in the Bank thing. But like singles matches is where you're remembered in Mania. So you need, when you get your spot, that's your stage, that's your spotlight, like that's your solo moment. As much as you're working with another person and it's your all moment, that's your moment to really six man's and tag matches. They're not moments. And that's what he was for a while. So he needed, like, that was a moment, and then he kind of like just, I don't know what they're going. I don't know where they can go with it now. I really don't.
I mean, they fired RVD for some shit like this, and
I can't
it's RVD. You know, a lot of people are saying this type of stuff online. There's a lot of stuff I've been saying online. I don't want to address a few of them. But one is that, you know, RVD was fired for this. RVD was a million times more talented. Well, although I don't disagree with that, I will also say they kind of tried to do everything they could with RVD, and they really never found a great spot for him. They never had like an angle that they ran with RVD where they were even trying to really push him. I mean, they would put, you know, said this title.
He did beat Cena.
Huh?
For the world title. He did beat Cena for the world title. That was like the biggest thing they've done with him ever.
Yeah, but how long did that last? What kind of program came out of it? I mean, they didn't. I don't know.
That's probably much worse. I feel like that's where that was a good idea, and that was like a really beneficial thing for both companies, because at the time it was definitely from the smart mark audience a little bit, because it was like you could be like shitting on WWE on a WWE program in like the ECW, one of their big ballroom arenas in New York, and it was basically a smart mark that was getting into the smart mark age that we're in now.
Yeah. And I think they more or less did it to just go, hey, look, it's your guy, okay? We're not bad.
Yep.
And then bait and switch, he's out of there, you know?
Yep.
So, but, you know, I don't think it's the same thing. I think they got a bigger thing rolling on it. Not saying they're giving him any passes at all. But, I mean, that's the one thing that's being said. And I don't know what they could replace it with. As I said, everybody in that Elimination Chamber match, I don't think fits at all. A lot of people are screaming, put Henry in the spot. I mean, there's no good outcome to that. You're either burying Del Rio's face push, or you got to turn Henry heel. And I guess start a program, because he's not, as this monster who's been squashing people and throwing Kali around, you can't just put him into WrestleMania, have him lose to Del Rio and walk away.
No.
I mean, that's got to be in a new program then. So it really leaves me really, really wondering. My personal opinion, and this is just my indie mark opinion, a guy who should have been brought up a long time ago, they have Zeb walk out on Monday and cut a promo talking about, you know, I thought I had the real American and this and that. Turns around, I found him sleeping with one of the other, you know, the other side. I found him a little on the other side of the border doing things I wouldn't even talk about. Something like that. And then he's like, you know what? Comes across, I did find a real American. And then you bring out Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno. He's,
right.
You know, he's got the big grizzly beard. And now he goes in and they hot shot that as him versus Del Rio and continue the whole program. It wouldn't take away from anything because Hero doesn't have anything he's going off of right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't have anything to bring him in on. I think the gimmick they have Brody in works great, too, but I like what they're doing with the whole Wyatt family, the Bray Wyatt family.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if you'd want to, like, bring that whole thing in with it, but I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those, you almost have to bring an outsider in, and they have to be good, because everybody in front of them doesn't work in that.
This is true. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Definitely, like, hell, you get half the freaking Midwest marking out for it. And like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, any indie guy will definitely be marking out for that. But I don't think it's going to happen. But they're definitely left with a big, big question mark on their hands. The only thing they could do is bring them on TV, embarrass them, and then put it, whatever new plan into action that they're planning on doing. But it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. It's, there's no time in it, so they didn't put no time in it, which they were definitely. You can't blame them for trying.
No. And the thing is the other comments that I'm getting, and you know, I got to be a little more specific about this one. The PWS family who put themselves on quite the high horse. They decided to, you know, talk a bunch of shit amongst this. Oh, you know, this is why you don't put amateur wrestlers on the thing, and you know, just because they're big and tall and they've amateur wrestled doesn't mean you should give them any kind of shot and this and that. And I'm like, I'm reading this shit going, you guys are acting like you're not going to be one of the first people to book them on your show against like fucking Mantar or something the first chance you get.
In another 5 years when they're fired.
Yeah, like if this dude loses his job, you guys are going to be one of the first people ringing his fucking phone, and he's going to be wrestling Kevin Matthews within the fucking 3 months. Like, settle down about the bashing the dude.
I know, right? Bye, Matt Hardy. He's swagger.
Yeah, he's going to be in reality check before you know it. I mean, you know, understand. I think the dude's really, really stupid for the decision he made. I really do. But I just can't stand a company who's just not known for holding high moral status or not booking someone who just lost their job from a company, talking about how horrible this guy is. And, oh, TNA is going to be ringing his phone. Like, yeah, you'll be on the other line. Like, settle down. Jesus. I can't understand it.
Well,
so anyway, that's a big situation there with him, and I'm really interested to see what goes on, but I'm just kind of shaking my head because it was one of the big, big builds that I was actually excited about going into Mania, going, man, I don't think Swagger's a bad worker. He's always had great size, great speed for his size, strength, the whole thing, a horrible speaking voice, and now he's got someone to talk for him with a really good heel angle.
And that's all I needed from him. That's all I needed. I was like, he has a lanky body. He looks like a cricket. It bothers me. But
who?
Swagger.
Swagger?
He looks like a cricket. he's just lanky as hell. So, like,
well, he's like fucking 6'5 or some shit like this.
He has no torso, though. His torso is extremely short, but the longest arms and legs you'll ever see on a human body. But, like, as long as he wasn't talking, I'm like, okay, I can accept this. I can take this. Like,
right.
So the mouthpiece, I'm like, okay, now I can sit back and, like, actually, like, ingest this.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to just, like, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just interested in seeing what they do next. So anyway, the next matchup was the Shield versus the Sword, and
that's what they called it.
They I think it was dropped one way or another with the faces being the sword. And it's just like, oh, this is some book. But, you know, they continually buried the Shield as far as, like, non-matches. The Shield would come out and get run off like cowards, and they'd get run off like cowards. And, you know, they only wrestled, like, a full two matches before that, the TLC match and then the one last month, and they won the one last month. So, you know, they were kind of backed into a situation where I thought they were going to get over. Everybody else was going, they're never getting over. I really thought they were getting over one way or another, and they did. These matches have been really, really fun, and it's partially the indie mark in me because, I mean, watching Moxley on TV is just, I can't even put words into it. I mean, just seeing him do his thing, and like I was saying last week, they have, like, his entrance in the WWE game. So even, like, really? Yeah, you got to create them, you just download a creator, like other people create the guy and you just download him. But they have his entrance in the game. So once you get somebody that, you know, puts the looks on it, like he does the same thing where he kind of like stumbles out and like walks in a circle and he's got his whole walk and his whole cadence.
Wow.
So even seeing that on a video game.
Wow.
I mark out, you know, it's just like, wow. I mean, Moxley is,
like
he was that guy, you
yeah.
know, CZW month in, month out doing his thing. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see guys like that really do deserve it. And so, I mean, just seeing him and cutting the promos like he does and doing what he does and, you know, working in there with all these guys, you know, bringing in this misfit crew, it's been done before. But in the same token, to bring it in to fight the main event faces, I mean, that's some blockbuster stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, even they did it with the Nexus. They disbanded most of that. Most of the guys kind of dissolved.
Now, see, I wish they would have put Shield as the Nexus. Like I wish they would have swapped that. Because how awesome would it have been to see, like Moxley and like Tyler Black and like Danawi going in like ripping up the ring and doing all that shit. Like that would have been so, and then like going in with Cena and like having him join, that would have been so awesome. But then like
yeah.
I feel like they wasted all that by using like guys that just don't seem like Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. I'm like
It's guard.
Barber. The idea was set. It's just the
players. Oh yeah, the whole thing that they did, the plan that they had, got an enormous buzz, but it had no future plan. I mean, Ryback was Skip Sheffield, but by the time the Nexus thing took off, he was already hurting on a shelf. Mm. Daniel Bryan got taken off of it for, you know, acting like Benoit, and now he's doing cross faces and headbutts, diving headbutts. So, I mean, we see it all come full circle, and the two guys that actually caught any heat for it, they're main eventing, and the rest of them are pretty much job guys, so if they're even on the TV show. So, yeah, they probably executed a good idea that they had way too early.
Yeah, indeed. Definitely.
Yeah. And Roman Reigns, who I didn't know a goddamn thing about until I saw him on TV, it was like, look at Tyler Black and Mox and that other guy. And then he's just been really impressive.
Yeah. Like, nobody on the show should be doing a spear other than him. He has the most, like, beast mode spear ever.
Yeah, when he took dude through the barricade and Lillian Garcia almost shit herself. That was fun times.
That was crazy. It's like spears, like, whew. Like, I love it. Cause everybody's shoulder blocking. No, he's spearing.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's got a great look, great build. You know, he just overall looks like that guy that should be one of these beasts. I think all three of these guys, and, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, this guy might be left by the wayside, this guy might be. And I don't think there's any definite beyond it. I think Tyler Black or, Seth Rollins. I think he'll survive, but I think he's a bit one that probably has the most risk going into the future when they do break into singles.
I can see that.
Roman's going to be one of those strong guys. He has that WWE look. They're going to find a way for him.
Here's the thing. He's Samoan, so he's set for life.
Yeah. And Mox has, he just has that personality, that over the top, you're not going to match that character. You're not going to find someone just like him. So he stands out of the pack. I think he's going to fall into that CM Punk mode where he just, his promos and his ring work and everything just puts him into, this guy has to be on TV. He's money. He's the future. He's going to be one of those guys.
Definitely.
Seth Rollins is a great worker. He's a so-so promo guy. I actually think he's stepped it up since he's been on WWE TV. I thought he was going to be fucked on that, knowing, you know, his talking in Ring of Honor. I was like, oh, that's a big problem. And he's done okay. But, you see what's happened with some of these other workers, you know. I mean, they don't know what to do with Kofi Kingston. So,
as an African American person, I don't know what to do with Kofi Kingston. If the nigga came over to my house, I would not know what to do. I'm like, hey guy,
want to like go in the backyard and jump a bunch of times? I mean, that's all I can do. Like, how's it going, nigga?
I think he's tremendously talented, man.
He is.
And it's shit, if you want to go the other side of athletics and just say, they didn't know what to do with Colt Cabana.
No.
So, but I don't think Tyler Black's Colt Cabana, but I'm just saying, he's got to find a niche when they do break off into singles, which personally I'm really anxious for because I do want to see Mox in these singles and want to see where Roman falls. And even Seth, I want to see them all fall into place. I just don't want to see one of these guys fall off, and I worry that he might be the guy if one of them is going to. So, and not that he's done anything wrong whatsoever within this WWE run. I just know how they just kind of just bury people out of nowhere. It's just like, oh, you're on top? Okay, yeah, we're all done. And then they're working PWS, you know. Tito Santana's got a match against him on. Yeah. It's like, oh, shit.
Jobbing the Starman.
Yeah, Starman is doing a 450 off of the Rob Feinstein stable. it's like, oh, shit, that seemed like a quick drop from Stardom. Ironically, quick drop from Stardom when Starman is doing moves on you and then PW. All right. I ain't gonna spend all night on these guys. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just surreal to see Mox on TV doing that. And, you know, on the pay-per-view against these guys, and they get the win. So it's just great stuff. And then they go to the guy that you wouldn't know what to do with if he showed up at your house. Kofi Kingston and Dolph Ziggler. And the thing that you can pretty much guarantee out of Kofi is he's going to give you a good match. They don't know where to go with it. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know why they're even using him other than he's not going to mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Kofi and Dolph. And they just kind of threw that together. Ziggler wins a good match. They had now I've heard several names for this. They had Ryback, Chuck Lesnar. I've heard Chuck Lesnar.
The best thing is seeing him on Twitter announce those.
Yes. I also put up From the Block Lesnar, which I have not seen. I'm not on Twitter, really. But,
that's funny.
Yeah, I put From the Block Lesnar before I heard Chuck Lesnar, and that one's pretty good, too. But yeah. He attacked Kofi, and I also noticed that Kofi has tats like Mia Yim. I never noticed that before.
I said that to somebody and they didn't catch it. I'm like, it's right there. I can see it. He's like, I don't see anything. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, I never noticed it. He has tats like Mia Yim. That's nice.
It bugs me.
I wonder if they mean the same shit or I don't know. I have to talk to them.
It says fried chicken Chinese. That's exactly what it
says. And then they put Tamina and Caitlyn in next, which this is where it started, you know, after that impromptu match where, okay, you know, Ziggler's, you know, one of the top quote-unquote heels, or at least guys on TV. So you go, okay, well, you know, but the more matches and the more things that go on, you're like, why did the Elimination Chamber go on so early? Because yeah. I understand putting a rock over him, but now you put, like, three matches over him type thing. So I'm like, all right. So then Tamina and Caitlyn, who, you know, they conveniently leave off of big pay-per-views. They're just like, we don't need a women's match. We're all good. But you put it over an Elimination Chamber match for a Mania shot. Okay. So I don't know if I'm in a complete minority, but as far as, like, what I read on the internet, I'm in a minority that I like Caitlyn. I like Caitlyn a lot. I think she's good, especially the amount of time that she's been in there. I think she does really well for herself. Geez feels me, but I don't know how much he feels about her ring work or what, but I know he's just down with her.
I'll feel about her. Like, she's fun, but, like...
She's fun.
She's fine. She's there doing things, being a woman. Like, yeah, you do that. But, she has a lot more room to grow. But the problem is, she already has the title when she didn't grow anything. But there's there's X amount of divas with X amount of time on a WWE program. So it's like, how much time do we truly have for her to grow? And that the crowd's going to invest in to see. Like, pretty much they're just filler matches. Like, Caitlyn's really growing in the 3-minute match you had, man. Yeah, she's really stepped it up. Like, you can tell.
Well, I mean,
like,
I what are we talking though? But
she can sell. She's a good seller.
Kelly is gone. Never liked her, but, you know, they spent all sorts of time on her being the top face on the women's division.
Jesus Christ.
Beth Phoenix is gone. The Bellas are gone. They spent a lot of time trying to make that work. Gone.
They spent time on them in PR. That's it.
Yeah, but they did a lot of that bullshit. Twin Magic trying to make shit work. Who else is gone? Like,
Layla's there still. I don't know.
Layla's there. Yeah.
McCool, I don't know.
Michelle McCool. No, she's gone. She's been.
Yeah. I mean, she has, but, like, I don't know. Like, who else?
Try to be honest.
I'm trying to think of, like, five divas.
Now, I mean, Tamina's another. I mean, she's talented. She plays a really good, tough chick. You know, she's good in the ring, I think. I think she plays a really good tough chick. They try to pretty her up too much. I thought she should have played like a wild Samoan type thing. You know, being Snuka's daughter, she could have played just like a killer, started like biting chicks and shit. Like,
yeah.
I think it would have worked.
Poking it on a bitch's head.
Yeah, I mean, if she wanted Roddy Piper.
I'd have lost it. Yeah.
But they got a few things, but very few. They lost a lot. Who else? I mean, there was other ones that stepped away, too.
There's one creeping on my head, but I can't, like...
Eve! Fucking
Eve! There you go.
Eve's another chick. She couldn't act worth a damn, and they gave her tons of fucking screen time. And she would have the most awkward fucking promos, where she would just... they had her trying to be like a GM type thing. Not
bad.
Quite GM, but trying to like call the shots backstage, awkward as fuck. She tried to be like what AJ's doing, awkward as fuck.
Yeah,
I mean,
like she tried to turn certain spots into like Days of Our Lives. And I'm like, what is she doing?
I mean, fine,
really
she
weird.
Could act. She just decided it was awkward. It was just as awkward as the moonsault she kept doing every week. That was dumb as hell. It was like, I don't know. it was nowhere near the person she was hitting it on, and it was like a snap moonsault. There was no float. It was a snap moonsault. That shit was horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they spent time trying to make that work because she was an attractive chick, and they were just like, no, this would be a good thing on the poster.
And she was ethnic.
Yeah, and ethnic. That's, you know, another person for Swagger to yell at if he doesn't smoke weed on the road, but no.
If she was there, so, yeah.
But, yeah, she more or less decided, I don't feel like doing this anymore, and my husband and I, yeah, we're just going to get married. Like, she had no other reason, just in, like, I have enough money now.
Pretty much. Like, just I want to have a life.
It's like they're going to the WrestleMania season. She's like, yeah, I'm done now. She's like, what the fuck?
Want to fulfill this contract before, bitch, before you decide to just...
There was no... Just like, yeah, I'll pay off whatever I owe you. Fuck. Just like, oh, shit.
I'll get you back in Texas.
I'm done doing stuff. Like, damn. So she did that. It left the Divas division with nothing. And initially, you know, I brought this up with Christy a bunch of times on the air too. The big rumor was Triple H, when he took over, or Paul, when he took over, was going to squash the Divas division, pretty much send them home. And then
I heard you talking about.
Yeah, also increase the tag division. And, you know, and I talked to her about that. I've asked other people about that because all the writing's on the wall, because a lot of these chicks weren't even fired. They were just like, I'm heading out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yo, these were the people with the biggest pushes in the company. Why do you think they're leaving? Do you think there's any truth to this? And personally, I think there is. Other than hiring Sarah Del Rey, they haven't done anything positive for the women's division in far worse than 6 months.
True. The last, like, great thing I've seen them do in a while was, like, it wasn't within the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't even that recent memory. Like, I remember, like...
Which was what?
It had to be 09. It had to have been. Like, it was like McCool and... The McCool and Melina matches. They were killing each other. They were busting each other's asses. They were doing, like, DDTs on, like, the, like, security banners, like, on the guardrails.
Right,
it was, like, whooping each other's ass. I'm like, these girls are going in. And, like, that was the last real recent memory. And then, like, I was actually looking at this DVD. Like, the Mickie James and McCool, the Lay Cool storyline ad was actually interesting.
The Mickie James Trish thing where she was mimicking her and being a stalker and crazy and shit.
Not that one.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing. But not that one. Like, I'm talking about like the when Michelle McCool and Layla were doing the thing where like they were calling her Piggy James and doing that shit into the Royal Rumble.
That worked too.
Yeah, it was like half shoot, but like. That was good, and it got you in that
because you lost your job.
Yeah.
You lost a feud in your job. Isn't that cool? Isn't that McCool?
Good God. Jesus.
That's McCool. You lost your job. but they don't, and, you know, when it comes down to it, they haven't done anything. They haven't brought in. I think Paige on NXT is really good.
I haven't seen her. I gotta check that out.
And on top of that, I think Alicia Fox has stepped up a tremendous amount. I saw her against, who the fuck did I see her against? Oh man, I saw her against somebody on NXT, and I was like, wow. I mean, look at her go. And she. she was actually like, I saw some like Tilt-A-Whirl shit, and I was like, wow, that was like some pretty quick movement and didn't look sloppy at all. And I'm like, who the fuck was that? I'm like, oh shit, that was Alicia Fox. And she was gone for a while, and I was like, okay. I mean, well, shit. Maybe they sent her down and she did some work. So I think she's gotten a lot better.
Not always a bad move. They need a black chick, to be honest. That's why.
The Funkadactyls have gotten a lot better, too. Have you seen some of the Lucha shit they're doing? Cameron and whatnot.
I haven't seen them.
The Funkadactyls, you know, Brodus Clay shit.
Oh, okay.
They've gotten a lot better. They've been doing a lot more, like, rope flippy stuff and baseball slide drop kicks and, like, pretty smooth shit for what they are and, you know, their role is. They've been really trying to work in and get better.
About that. I didn't know they were even wrestling.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought they were just like, let's go on, like, Vivo and find some black bitches that can shake their ass so they can come up with this guy. That's all I thought they were. I didn't know they were working.
Yeah, the one of them was on that Tough Enough joint. I think she might have been even the one that was like her favorite match was of all time was what the fuck was it? It was like
Melina match thing. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like
that's actually Alicia Fox's younger sister.
Yeah, that might be the one. I think she's definitely one of the Funkadactyls. So, but yeah, the two of them are actually doing pretty good for themselves. They're just, you know, rubbing their asses together on the ring entrance and doing what they got to do. You know, they're playing Bat Boy until they get like a shot at the AAA, and you know, they're doing some of that in the NXT, and you know, not. I mean, obviously the Divas division is wide open, even from what we're saying. So, step your game up. I mean, you could be valeting, you could be doing whatever you want to do, but it's pretty wide open if you step your game up.
I
think they definitely are.
Yeah, it's for the taking.
Yeah, so that's that thing. And then the main event, you know, Tamina Caitlin did the thing. They're still teasing that quite a bit. So I think hopefully the women will get a WrestleMania match, and these two will work something out and give some credibility to the women's division, because I don't want to see it die. I want to see women be wrestlers. I don't want to see, you know, hair-pulling catfight bullshit. Women can be wrestlers. There's many of them that have proven that, and I think the two of them could put on a hell of a show if they get it together. So, yeah,
right.
Hopefully that's what it does. Then you go into the main event of The Rock and CM Punk. And I thought it was a great match. I really enjoyed the match. The finish was kind of weird to me.
I didn't see or hear about it. I don't know.
You didn't see shit on this pay-per-view, huh?
Not a damn. I was trying to.
You should. I watched
Mania. I'll watch Mania.
You go back and see some of it if you want. If you're getting fidgety, like going into Mania, maybe watch just the Elimination Chamber match and the Rock Punk match.
Right.
I thought it was really good. They worked really good. You know, Punk style versus Rock style. A marked out for CM Punk hitting the Rock Bottom on the Rock. I mean, it's another one.
I would have marked out for that too.
Indie fan moments. I was like, oh shit, he hit the Rock Bottom. I was bucking out. They did that weird thing, and it was like DQ. If the Rock gets DQ'd, the title goes back to Punk. And then they did a whole bunch of shit with the ref knocked out, and Punk had like an 18 count type shit, where he's just laying on top of the Rock, which to me seems more like a face move. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird when you got, like, the refs knocked out and the guy and the fans are yelling 1, 2, 3 into the teens. And then, you know, you go back and the dude ends up losing the match. And so that's kind of the route they went. But, again, they're teasing it. Honestly, I don't think there's a way in hell this is not going to be a three-way in Mania. I don't, you know. I said that before the match. I said, Punk's going to win in a screw job, and it's going to be a three-way with Punk, Rock, and Cena, and Mania. They already did Rock and Cena. they can do that again, or
stay the once in a lifetime.
Yeah, once in a lifetime and all that, which is the stupidest tagline ever, unless the guy's retiring after the match. So I just didn't understand it, and I was just like, fuck that bullshit. So I think a three-way. And now next week, and we'll get into Raw after that. I'm going to take a break after we talk about this, but I just can't understand exactly what they do. Okay, yeah, The Rock keeps the title. You go into, okay, next week they fight for the title. You could, you know, again, screw job finish and they go to a three-way, but I don't know. I enjoyed the match. I don't understand exactly why they did the finish that way. Why even bring up a DQ stipulation and then have the heel kind of look like a face where he's getting the pin, but the ref's out of the ring? Like,
it's
kind of ass backwards. Again, I can't really ask you what you think about it because you didn't see it.
I'll be watching Raw, like, because I go to my buddy's house and he DVRs like a month's worth of Raw for me, and I'll just sit there and watch that. But I'll end up seeing that, but I'll end up seeing the pay-per-view itself, too. I probably won't be seeing it, but I'm definitely going to – hold up. There's no March pay-per-views, is there?
No, there isn't. That's what I'm saying. People are going to get itchy.
Oh, good. That's smart. Smart, thank God.
Yeah.
Then I'll be watching Mania.
There you go. So – hey, I'm going to do another break right quick, play this, another track off of that that big Frank Sinatra crossover joint, because it's one of my favorite mixtapes. I had had to re-up my iPod, so I had to re-download a lot of shit that I had, and that was one of them. And so it brought it back up in my mind. It's a couple years old, but classic to me. So play another track off of that, then another teaser off of another joint I did. The one with G's, well, I think it was the first one I did with G's back in the beginning. So I'm going to play this, then that, and then we'll be back, talk a little Raw. And I definitely want to touch on a little dunk contest action because I'm trying to get myself leaning towards that. But all right, we'll be back.
All right.
Oh, Jesus. Just when I think I'm a professional, perhaps. Click on my computer and it just goes gray. Like, are you planning on doing something? The fuck you ain't. Yeah, so I'm going to scroll down on my iPad. And I get the shit on. So it's like a big stupid delay on what I plan on doing. I'll get it going. I'll get it going. Just take a minute. I'm just going to talk so it's not a bunch of dead air. It's just stupidity in between the break in the song. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, yeah, this should get it.
Second, I grew up, the fucking screw up. Got introduced to the game, got an ounce and fucking blew up. Chopping rocks overnight. The nigga Biggie Smalls trying to turn into the Black Frank White. We had the drill dreads to change our description. Two cops is on the milk box missing. Shows they chose, you know they got stepped on. A fist full of bullets, a chest full of Teflon. Run from the police, picture that. Nigga, I'm too fat. I fuck around and catch an asthma attack. That's why I bust back. It don't faze me. When he drop, take his Glock and I'm Swayze. Celebrate my escape, solar clock, bought some weight. Lay back, I got some money to make.
Long night, it's a long night, my friend. The barroom and the backseat's dead end. Sometimes I thought I saw the sunrise and good times in the air. It was just
It was just another big town with midnight's neon glare. Long night, it's a long night, I know.
Frank, tell me how we get out of this shit. Last night, last month with a flashlight, the heat up in the 2C club with 2 meters. Then the retard, just rings when you meet us. He did it on the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, place the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck off your coat connect. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shoot out for 20 minutes until we finish. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest by the abdominal. Climb a few bars so I can buy a few cars. Then I kick a few flows so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitant. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, back gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kids are girls you touch, in this world I clutch. Two or toes, not toes, you should call me Fatso. Now you call me Astro, my rap flows. Little dick, y'all faggot think killing shit. Oops, Chris Dow keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, home, you in the danger zone. Shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me. The most shady, fleshy baby, Frank Wright.
Even if they patrol, I make payroll.
There's a war going on outside. No man is safe from.
I'm ready to die, and nobody can save me.
I'm one of the most hated and underrated motherfuckers in this Indies right now. The Black G's save me.
Yakuza.
All right, I trained at a place in Philly called Hawkins, and like some of the Philly dudes, they know about Hawkins. They ain't around no more. John was in like
Yakuza.
Another thing, like people just want to like go off and talk about shit like they know what they're talking about, like fans or whatever. They don't know what's going on.
Oh, I
they
got
assume
you.
They know. they assume yeah. They know, and you know what I'm saying. Like it's cool. They can be opinionated and all that, but
Yakuza.
I'm really trying not to, you know what I'm saying, call cats out, man.
Yakuza.
We did the shit, and it's like last thing I remember is being up at the top of the you know, top of the scaffold or whatever, and me and Cash is up, and he's like, you ready? I'm like, I'm ready. Let's do it. Then the next thing I remember is sitting in the locker room, and people ask me, you all right? And me not remembering what the fuck happened. And then, like, people were telling me, like, yo, you crazy, man. That bump you took, you crazy. And I was just, like, trying to put it off. Like, it wasn't nothing, yada, 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 but I hadn't seen it yet.
Yakuza!
So it's like the night still came. I'm still fucked up from the concussion I got earlier in the day. And then I'm in a cage match at Hate Club. Get power bombs dropped on my head. I think I jumped off top of the cage. That wasn't smart, you know what I'm saying? So I got fucked up even
that
more.
That was the high stakes I was talking about.
Yakuza!
And I know from experience, man, because I used to think that way. I used to think, like, you know what I'm saying, let me do this flip and do that flip or whatever, and then people will respect me.
Yakuza!
Me and Jimmy, we got off on the bad foot, and it was my fault. Not his, it was my fault. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, we stayed professional as far as doing, like, our matches, that match anyway. You know what I'm saying? We stayed professional, shit worked out.
Yakuza!
Like my feelings on Teddy Hart is Teddy knows what he's doing. That's my feelings. Like, I don't know Teddy all like that. I've been around him a few times, but I don't know him all like that.
Yakuza!
He one of them rats that think that the boys that she blowing actually got any feeling for it. All they got feeling for is her head game. That's it. Body.
Yakuza.
That table match, I loved it, man. Like, everybody was on the same page, man. Like, everybody was on the same page. Everybody, like, we all knew what we needed to do to get the business done, and we did it, and it worked. Hey, did you hear that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's my dude. That was good stuff. So we'll be back. So you there, Shane?
Yep.
Cool,
sure.
Cool. Another thing I wanted to touch on, and there's only so much I could even touch on it because you watch basketball, right?
Yeah. I keep up with it now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm I'm still on my NFL hangover, but the only two sports I watch is football first, so, and basketball. And I only start watching basketball when football's over. But
yeah.
Now that, you know, we went to the Super Bowl and all that, I still got like that football hangover. So I'm getting myself back to it, and I'm a Heat fan. So, you know, they're doing their thing. I'm hearing nonstop how LeBron's snapping off. Everybody's hating. Hey, everybody hates LeBron. He's the world's worst nightmare. No one wants him. No one wants him in the league. Everyone wants to beat LeBron. They're like, I like my team, but if someone else beats LeBron, I'm fine with it. It's just like, damn.
Right.
It's just, geez. I'm not one of these guys that just comes out and says LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Like, I'm not one of those guys. I honestly think if someone at the end of their career is going to top Michael, it would be Kobe. But,
yep.
And I hate Kobe. I think he's an asshole of a person. I think he's one of the best athletes the sport has ever seen. And he's close to having those type of titles. You know, I mean, you got to consider him, I think, before you do LeBron, even though LeBron's unbelievable. But that's just me. I didn't watch the All-Star game because I was watching the Elimination Chamber. And I watched the dunk contest later because this was something that I've always enjoyed. And I'm going to get into what it used to be in a little bit. But I'll tell you what. More or less, here's how. My biggest entertainment on this shit was my fucking man, Charles Barkley. Charles is the shit. They need to keep this guy on commentary every minute because here's how this shit went.
All right.
Oh, my God, that was a horrible miss. Oh, he just missed the second dunk. You know what else he missed, Kenny? That guy, Dwayne Wade, over there missed the mirror when he left the store with that shirt on. That shirt's some bullshit right there. Kenny, I don't know what he was looking at when he bought that shirt. He had a lot of options. He bought that shirt. I know that. I don't know what's wrong with him buying that shirt, Kenny. And people just stop, just like, damn, Charles, like we're talking about the game. And then they go for a minute, and they go back on, and... All right, you know, he's got three chances. You know, he's on the second chance. You know, I done gave LeBron a lot of chances. And one thing I ain't going to give is LeBron another chance with them pants. Them pants is – he's a knucklehead picking them pants. Hey, Ernie, you wouldn't even pick them pants, and I don't like none of your gear. Ernie, look at them pants, man. That's – You got to look at them pants, Ernie. He's a knucklehead. That's terrible. That's just terrible what he did with them pants. And, like, he's doing nothing but just scouring, like, the stars on the sidelines and going, that shirt sucks. Those pants. What is with those shoes? Those glasses. Screw that guy's haircut. Like, he's just annihilating people on the sideline, Kenny. I don't know about the dunk. I don't know nothing about that.
Did you see that? No, I'm too busy looking at his pants.
Yeah. Those glasses over there, that don't even make no sense. It's pretty bright in here, and those glasses don't need they don't need no spotlight on them glasses. That's just terrible with them glasses over there. Take them glasses off, you knucklehead. Oh, man, Charles just kills me. He just rips people apart. It's just the best thing ever. And Shaq's over there, you know, two guys that used to tussle on the court, and Charles threw the ball off his head. If you remember that tussle they had back in the day, it was great stuff. I'm a Shaq mark. But Shaq's just
that is hilarious.
I don't know, Charles, whatever you guys say. Do whatever you
want.
What
they should have is have a – the comedian Ari Spears just do impersonations of both of them. On the
The Shaq's just like, I don't know, Charles, that was a pretty good dunk. He'd be like, I don't care about the dunk.
listen, Shaq, that suit you got on is stupid. And dude in the third row over there with that purple, I don't know about the purple, man. That guy's a knucklehead.
Say, like, purple was the color of the team that I won my championship with. I like purple.
Yeah.
I'm purple.
I think and purple was the color that I threw the ball off your head while you was wearing. You took me to the floor, but I laughed at you when you was doing it.
I wore
it's okay. Them shoes is ridiculous.
Purple's a good color. Been good to me all my career. I wore purple in Kazam. Can you dig it?
Don't get into it with Kazam. You got the headdress and you got all that stuff. You look like my maid. I tell you, they picked me up on the side of the road. They asked me, Charles, why are you with the prostitute? I said, she gave the best blowjob I ever had. You know, this guy actually did that. This guy was back on TV quicker than anybody in the world. I love Charles Barkley. I didn't even like him that much as a player. He was a scrappy thug on the court. He did what he had to do. He definitely got shit done. But afterwards, just his commentary is the shit. Like, this guy got caught getting a blowjob from a hooker, and when the cop showed up, he's just like, hey, man, that was the best blowjob I ever had. I've been back to her a few times, and there's nobody that sucks a dick like her, so do what you gotta do.
I can honestly, without a doubt, say that was not Pearl.
I know Kenny never got a blowjob like that. Kenny, none of them. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. They should be down here on 34th and... Them bullshit shoes ain't walking down 34th and such. But, yeah, I mean, and he was back on TV like 2 days later and he didn't even mention it. Like, so, Charles, what do you think about the game? It's like, all I know is guys on sideline looking like a fool with them glasses. Back to you, Kenny. It's like,
and then Kenny's like, really, we're not going to mention this. Okay, I see how we're going to play this. We're going to keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to be
it just looks
guy.
Awkward. Like, I used to shoot threes. I don't know, man. Big ass smile on his face.
I
don't know,
shooters.
Man.
I love
he's
how
just ecstatic all the time. But yeah, the dunk contest was horrible. Everybody missed like at least two dunks before they hit the shit they were going for, and it was
wow.
Like the clock's counting down. They're like, all right, everybody gets like three chances, and then they'll give you just one more. And, like, whatever happens there will be your dunk. And that's most of where people made their dunks. And I'm just like, this is some bullshit. See, and I don't have a huge – well, no, I do have a huge problem with just young talent having the dunk contest. Because back in the day, I remember motherfucking Spud Webb and Michael Jordan
they were in
and Dominique Wilkins in
well,
the fucking dunk
three
contest. Times. You know, and there's shit where you hear throughout the season, like, Dwayne Wade has been really, really begging LeBron to go in the dunk contest, and he says, nah, and then you just get y'all, LeBron shoes is some bullshit today. And it's like, that's all, his whole, the only involvement he has is Charles picking his gear apart. That it just, I don't know who the fuck these people are. And I think the start, well, maybe not completely the start, but a good pinpoint on the downfall of the talent in the NBA dunk contest was when they had Harold Miner, who they at the time called Baby Jordan, which clearly you can compare the two careers and see that they're very similar. Harold Miner doing the big backwards in between the legs, really nice dunk. You know, horrible career. You're not Baby Jordan. This is ridiculous. And, you know, they just tried to glorify the scrubs that were in the dunk contest at the time. And they're like, look at this guy. He could dunk really good. A lot of people on the B squad could dunk really good because they can't do anything else. But, I mean, who didn't want to see Vince Carter in the dunk contest all the time? Who didn't want to see all – Kobe Bryant and LeBron and Dwight Howard and all these guys square off.
Let them all square. Dude, how much money do you really need to pay these guys who are filthy rich already to have a good time? This isn't the Pro Bowl where you might shatter a collarbone. It's a dunk contest. Me and my dudes used to get drunk and do that shit on like a 9-foot rim. You know, like, there's no reason why people should be against this. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Who's opposing it?
The dudes with big money going, I ain't doing that shit. Like, LeBron, I ain't doing that shit. Kobe, I ain't doing that shit.
It's nice to just have fun. Just like
let the young motherfuckers do it. That's what it is, man. Nobody, and it's
like say a young dude does come up and pull off a crazy ass dunk. Oh my god, dunk of the century. Who like? Okay, he's gonna be riding the bench the rest of the season. Like, good for you. You have like a good accolade to add to your one shelf trophy case that you're ever gonna get because you suck in the game.
Right.
Like, really?
Like, but that's honestly, good for him. But the rest of these guys are just leaving it up for just like I don't even want to do it. So if you want it, go ahead because I don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is what it is, man. There's no huge accolade to just winning the dunk contest, but at least look at the history and let's try to keep this going. They're trying to get rid of the Pro Bowl. They're trying to get rid of a bunch of shit. And why – the dunk contest, they did get rid of for a year or two, and they're like, let's just see if people could play horse, and then we'll call that better. And then they were like, oh, that shit isn't working out at all. And they brought it back.
Let's have a free throw contest. Let's see who get the highest percentage free throws out of all the best free throws. Like,
yeah, they had like an intergender fucking shoot and pass contest, and it was just
suck. I'll tell you right now, those suck ass.
It's just like, what the fuck is this? And there were some good ideas, but
I remember
Beef Wellington posted earlier today on Facebook 22 jaw dropping amateur dunks that are better than anything in the NBA, and I reposted it because that's some real shit. And there was some shit that they did in there, some old behind-the-back joints, and some stuff that I haven't even seen people try. And these guys in the NBA are far more talented than anything that you see here. They're just – they don't want to be creative. They're just like, I got money. Fuck them.
They're getting paid.
And they're just like, let's put some fucking – they had – I think it was like Bill Walton or one of these dudes. They had him just sitting in a chair holding the ball over him, and the dude jumped over him like 5 times in a row trying to pull his dunk off. And I'm just like, this poor fucking Hall of Fame legend fucking sitting on his sitting on his fucking Sprite box. And this isn't a shot at you with the Sprite, but, you know, he's sitting on his box with Sprite written on it. And he's just jumping over it and jumping over it and he just missed like 4 dunks in a row. And it's just like, and the guy's just sitting there like, do I need to hold the ball different? And he's like, no, you're good. It's all me. It's brutal, man. It's brutal seeing this. And yeah, they got some ideas. And yeah, they're rookies or second year players. But why is this the dunk contest? Can we please get the best dunkers in the goddamn NBA? There's no risk. No one's angle tackling you. You're not getting upended by someone. You're not getting boxed out. Nobody's in your way.
Hell, the Pro Bowl, they don't even fucking block anymore.
That's what I'm saying. They want to get rid of the Pro Bowl. The fucking stupidest thing they did, and I was mad about it beforehand when they did it, they were like, oh, let's put the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. I'm like, that's bullshit.
That's dumb.
I'm like, that's bullshit. And people were like, well, the people that were in the Super Bowl don't play in it anyway because they played the week before. And I'm like, okay, I'm a fan of football, huge fan of football. When the Super Bowl is over, you miss football. Guess what's next week? A little more football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, well, it's the last little taste you get.
Right. The week before Super Bowl, well, it really doesn't mean shit, and I'm just looking forward to the Super Bowl. Didn't watch it. Didn't watch 2 seconds of the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which is better? And now you're talking about should we get rid of it? Like, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you we should get rid of Dwayne Wade's shirt from the All-Star game. Get rid of that sideline bullshit he was wearing.
I should have burned it when we did that T-Mobile commercial.
Yeah, Kenny, he's not on my Fave 5 no more.
I can't see him on my T-Mobile. I have him blocked. I have them shoes, glasses, and shirt blocked. That's my fave five. Is those
they
three
all,
things.
The entire wardrobe is in my least fave five.
LeBron James, mama. Devontae West and the rest of the Chase. But, yeah, so that's my basic thing. I'm going to try to get into the NBA in the home stretch, but I just have that feeling about the dunk contest and stuff like that that brings allure to the game and brings people to go, wow, that's entertaining, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You can't start getting rid of it. You can't start letting go of it or letting fucking, third round pick such and such going, I could dunk really good. And like, have at it, buddy. We don't care. Like, that's, oh, your baby Jordan? That's great because he's only the biggest star that's ever played basketball. Okay, you go ahead, baby Jordan.
Even high school people.
Your name is Grandma Ma? That's great. Larry Johnson was good back in the day. I ain't trying to shit on him, but it's just common.
Who even won the dunk contest? I don't even know who won it.
I don't know. I seen a bunch of botched dunks, and one was better than the other, and I was like, oh, all right then.
I was looking forward to Kenneth Faried, because he's actually pretty dope, but I don't know about his dunking. I just know he's a good player. That's the thing. Like, I know he's a good player. I don't know about his dunking.
There were some really good ideas, but if you watch them miss it three times and knew what they were going for, the fourth time isn't so cool. I'm sorry. I'm not, the wind is out of the sails at that point. Just like,
yeah.
It's not like the lights go off and like, oh my God. It's like we watched him try it three times and he botched it. Like, I used to, again, 9 foot rim, a bunch of my boys, blazing and everything. Be like, oh, look at you. You look like a fag on the rim. And you hit the ball on the rim, and it looked like you was about to break your back. Yo, you bitch motherfucker. Like,
that one you hit it.
Shit talk. You finally hit it, and you're like, huh? They're like, nah, I still remember the second one. You look like a bitch.
About time, bastard. We was waiting for that half an hour ago.
We was about to go play some Madden and shit. Nah, that's, it takes the wind out of it. I'm sorry, it just does. Yeah. So, Raw, speaking of taking the wind out of shit, Raw, they came out with Cena. He did the whole thing. Punk comes out, and he's like, yeah, champion forever, and you never beat me, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah, so shit, I'll put up my shot at WrestleMania, because why not? So he does that, and I'm like, well, that's weird as hell. Instead of saying, like, I don't give a fuck what you say, I still got a shot at WrestleMania. And he's like, no, I'll put it up next week. So he does that, which doesn't seem natural. And then Mark Henry beats the living shit out of Sin Cara, which at that point, pre-DUI controlled substance, I would have said Swagger should have definitely destroyed Sin Cara if you were setting someone up to destroy Sin Cara, the show. And it was just Mark Henry killing him. And then, like, Kali's music hits and they, like, kind of, like, taunt each other. Like, please don't make this a WrestleMania match. Like, please don't make that a WrestleMania match. It's Mark Henry and Kali.
Visible object.
That better be a dark match, and that's a shame because Mark Henry's he's a veteran. He's a good dude. Don't, damn it.
He's better than this.
So, but no, I mean, if someone's going to make Sin Cara a jobber, make that the dude. And instead, to skip ahead, they made it Daniel Bryan. Like, I mean, I know they're trying to like raise his status because he was going in to get a title shot just coming back. So I think that was their way of raising his status, but just have him run a gambit of guys who, are who they're pitching at anyone who may be illegal or doesn't look like us or doesn't talk like us. Go with those guys and just squash a bunch of them and then
the Epico and Primo, no one gives a shit about them. They're not going to be on TV during WrestleMania. Run through them. Go ahead. And then, you know, it's just another one of these things. I mean, they sent Ryback through him when they wanted to put him over. So,
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to, you know.
Oh, whatever. By the way, that's another diva. Is Rosa Mendez still there?
Yeah, well, she shakes her ass during the Primo and Epico matches. And then the Funkadactyls beat her ass. She did one of those, little rope flip lucha moves where, she goes for the dive and then, catches with her arms and flips over. And then the other one, baseball slide drop kicked her between her legs type shit. So they, owned her off of that little double team joint. That was, the most ringy shit she's been doing. I don't know how talented she is either. I mean, she's great to look at, but I don't really know how much talent she's got either.
Right.
You know, I mean, she's, a valet, no problem. But I don't know. I haven't seen that much of her in ring work because they've really kept her away from it.
Yeah.
Probably a reason. But then they did Cesaro and The Miz, and they did another one of those. Back and forth a bunch of times, chair shots, cane shots, steel posts, the whole nine. And then Miz ended up getting a figure four on Cesaro to make him tap out. And he worked over the leg the night before, so, kind of makes sense, too. And, oh, my God, were they fucking pitching this? They were pitching this Swagger shit all night. They were playing, before every or after every commercial break, one way or another, they were playing just, presidential quotes. Shit that would pitch into their gimmick. You can fool one man, but you can't fool every man. And then just say, Abraham Lincoln said that shit. And it was just oh, shit. Yeah, they're doing their best at this gimmick. This is why this is so hilarious for this to happen now, because what are they going to do? So then Brian and Kane are going back and forth. They do that whole thing. They go into Dolph Ziggler and, Big E Langston and AJ versus Alberto Del Rio. It doesn't make a ton of sense why they did this. And, they had Langston and all of them, cost them the match. So Alberto Del Rio keeps the title. Now, I don't know, does this steer him more in the direction of cashing the Money in the Bank in towards Del Rio's title?
It does. Here's what I think. I asked a while ago. This Money in the Bank, was that the Money in the Bank one for the heavyweight title, or was it one for the WWE title? Because they did the Money in the Bank show. They did the Money in the Bank show where they have they have two Money in the Bank matches, and one's for SmackDown, one's for Raw. So is his for SmackDown or for Raw? Who? Ew.
All right, I think I'm back on the air now. Let me try to. Yo, you still there?
Yep.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, I had to switch over to my girl's phone. The Blog Talk sometimes just completely fucks you. it's crazy, man. My phone went off. Just looked at this shit. It was hung up. And I tried to call back, and they're like, yeah, there's already a host on the line. So, goodbye. And I'm like, well, shit. Because I'm not. So So yeah, I just called back in, and I seen your call had dropped, and then you called back. So I'm like, all right, then we're good. So we're all good right now. Right.
Cool.
So then, yeah, Del Rio goes over, which, I mean, I was trying to ask you, do you think that the this is steering towards Dolph cashing in on Del Rio's title?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I heard a while ago, like, during the Money in the Bank, he had Money in the Bank, right?
Yeah, he still has it, yeah.
Yeah. So does that, like, since there's two Money in the Bank, one is for the WWE title, one's for the heavyweight title, does he have the one for which title belt does he have? Like, which one does he go on?
Whatever
for?
He does, whatever he wants to cash in on, I think.
Oh, so he has either one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, actually, it does then. Because they're going to have to steer it. They're going to have to steer it that way since Swagger's thing.
Yeah, and they actually teased it, too, with the that Del Rio match. Like, they teased him cashing it in and all that. And then they Ricardo grabbed the thing and ran up the thing, so they couldn't. Ran up the ramp, so they really couldn't, like, execute that. So I think they were leaning towards that, and I was like, oh, that's you really thought he was going a Raw title, but guess not.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, too, but that's what I was thinking, but since that's probably what they're substitute for, which will be a good match.
Sure. Sure.
Like, I mean, so if they steer it that way.
Well,
it's better than
they did a Wade Barrett thing next with Sheamus and I think what did they go back and forth? What the fuck did they even do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that was like a next promo segment, whatever. No, that's right. Wade Barrett just came on to promote his next movie or something.
Wade Barrett's doing a film.
Yeah, Dead Man Down. It's called Chrissy Marquette. Everything that Wade Barrett does, Chrissy marked out for us, so it does not.
And I heard that, and I'm like, stop it.
Mm-hmm. You if you ever want to get over as a heel in a match, you get into the ring or across the ring, or she's a valet on the other side, just yell Wade Barrett sucks, and she's gonna lose her shit. I mean, you're gonna see fireworks, which you know. Good for the match. She then next goes on is what the fuck? Oh man! Then the Tensai thing happened. I think.
I heard something about that. I don't know exactly what happened though.
I'm trying to get back to the results because with the touchscreen shit, I pick up my iPad and then it's just like, oh, you hit that shit.
Yeah.
I'm one of the most unprofessional motherfuckers you're going to hear on radio. I enjoy that. I'll take that title all day. let me see. Examiner. Was it Examiner that I was on? That's great. That's a great podcast. I think it was Examiner that I was on. Let's see. Nope. But they did the Tensai thing. They're doing Tensai at Brodus Clay. And, man, the other night they had the whole thing with Tensai where, I'm fine with the guy having a job and just having somewhere to do something. And them finding a way for him, even though they decided he's not going to be their crusher at all, ever.
Yeah, find time to figure that out.
Well, but they turned it into... Where Brodus is like, so what does that stuff on your face mean? He's like, you know, I thought it meant something, but I think it's just a sushi menu. Like, I mean, this guy was crushing it in Japan with Carl Anderson doing that shit. Like, God damn it. That's so bad.
That's painful.
It is. It's just like, I just think it's a sushi menu. He just shakes his head and just like, yeah. And that was, I think, a three-way. It was Brodus and Tensai and Naomi versus Primo, Epico, and Rosa. And you know, playing them once. They do have, like, that good goofball chemistry, like, fucking around and doing that thing. So, you know, I'm fine with it for that, but goddamn, did Penn State get put in a bitch role.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck reviving yourself after that, too.
That sucks. But, so then the next one with the Daniel Bryan, Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter. You think this is using everything? I don't know. Fine match for what it was. I mean, you're not going to mess up too much stuff with Daniel Bryan. Like I said, I think Jack's been really intense coming back. I know you think he looks like a cricket, but
pops everywhere.
I think he's been working his cricket ass off, and you know, Jiminy made quite a career for himself. So you know, why not? And they did that, which again I didn't understand because status wise I understand. Because him beating Daniel Bryan puts him at a higher status going towards WrestleMania. So I think that's like the status booster, and probably next week they would have went towards him working minorities and that type of thing in order to put the gimmick over. I think this was like the status booster. And then instead he went to working like state police, and that's not good. So they put him over Daniel Bryan with the Patriot Lock.
And, is that the ankle lock gimmick?
Yeah, the ankle lock is now called the Patriot Lock. And now it's actually called the Locked Up. but it's called the Holding Cell.
hilarious.
They went off of that to the Shield working Ryback, Sheamus, and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is the fill-in now because John Cena has bigger and, you know, bigger fish to fry with The Rock. Now,
right.
You know, this was great again. Like I said, these matches are tons of fun to me. Seeing a bunch of faces and main event faces up against those guys. And, Mox actually getting the pin against Chris Jericho in the middle of the ring.
Amazing, once again.
Just like, great stuff. Now,
surreal.
My question here is, where do they go? Is Chris Jericho the go-to third guy, and do they do another three-on-three at Mania with these three guys?
No.
Or is this another, like, trade-out group that we're talking about against the Shield come Mania? It could be a whole different group. I think they got Ryback locked into that program pretty steady. I don't think they're going anywhere with Ryback. You know, he's been back and forth with these guys for a long time now. Since they came in, they've been targeting him amongst others. So I think that he's going to continue to go there, but who are his partners? I mean, Sheamus is probably a good lock, too. Is Jericho going to be the guy? Is this going to be a six-man of Mania?
Right.
Bring in another guy that Jericho turns heel beforehand. I mean, what happened?
Yeah, like it's too many. Like that takes away too many slots for Mania. Like, oh, you can't take away Sheamus if he's like let's make that another match. You know, like
right.
You can't like I don't even know who they can draw from.
Now, there's stuff that's turning into singles, right? Because I think it's going to be a long time after Mania before they start breaking these guys off into single matches.
Right.
I
don't
think we're anywhere near that.
There's a couple guys in NXT that are, like, just sitting there waiting. You can pull from them anytime you want. You have that card.
For WrestleMania?
In general. Like, before WrestleMania, you still got a month. You gotta make that money mean something, but you don't want to hot shot it like that.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of hot shotting if you bring guys up from NXT. And I gotta give a big shout out. I'm glad you brought NXT up again because I would have probably forgot it. But I marked that heavy for Pac being the first
tag champion,
and it came down to it was either gonna be Pac being part of it or Brody Lee being part of it. So
it's huge.
just huge either way. I watched that match, just smile on my face, fucking ear to ear, going, you know, here we go, man. And I don't know how much you guys feel this. I know, you know, you're on the younger end of it. I mean, you have miles and miles to travel in the indies, and I know you will, and in wrestling as a whole. I mean, you're just at the beginning of, I think, what will be a long journey, and you can get tremendously far. And on top of that, there's all these other guys who worked 10 years in the business and still never really made that big TV impact. And
yeah.
Now all these guys that are just popping up, it's got to feel good to the indies. It's got to feel good to guys on the indies, like, we can do it.
Yeah, it is. It shatters that, shatters another glass window. It shatters
it sure,
another glass. Yeah, big time.
I often look at it like, you know, I used to talk to guys, Ruckus and everybody else, and it's like, dude, you guys are so much better than what's going on this, you know, this facet of TV or that facet of this and this and this, and like, they don't care about guys like us, man. They don't, you know. And it's not just like Ruckus that was saying this. You know, just any random indie guys that you would just be like, man, the guys, you know, what you guys are doing out here, athleticism wise, is really trumping the stuff that's being put on TV, and it's like, yeah, that's not what it's about. And it's just like, well, damn. But now it's starting to turn the corner.
Yeah.
So
it is.
See, it is a very positive thing, and definitely a big open window for guys. Clearly, you can't leap through it, but there's.
So we're getting in there. We're getting in there.
Sure. There's a future to be had, and I mean, you look at these guys, the Triple H's, Stone Cold's been out, even though people are continuing to beg for him. He's, you know, continuous surgeries, he's trying to do movies, he's, you know, not quite just eager to do a whole bunch of wrestling right now. Triple H is, you know, borderline owning the company. The Rock, you know, he's doing tremendous amount of movies, and even more HGH. I don't know, man. There's no amount of not doing substances that can make you look like The Rock looks. That shit is retarded. Like, his head is not as big as his arm.
No.
His arm trump his
not
skull.
At all.
That's not good.
They're taking horse tranquilizers, like several syringes, like gauges, and just piercing every limb. And every muscle individually is getting worked on.
Oh, it's just, you know, it's whatever works for him, that's fine. I'm not like, yo, lock this guy up. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, he looks like a fucking freak. He looks like some of the shit movies. Like, he got gamma rays or whatever. Whatever Bane got, I don't know, man. That he's got
he's
some of that.
He's taking venom.
Shit.
He's taking venom.
just some of that high class shit, man. Movie shit. So it's just disgusting to me. I mean, it's just like, dude, you're not supposed to be that big. You look like a freak. I mean, you can't even wear a suit and look like a normal human being at that point.
No.
You're just like, oh, look at the crazy monster in a suit. Look at the big furry monster from Bugs Bunny in a suit. That's weird. Isn't that weird? I don't know. Kane versus Randy Orton. They did that thing, and then they ended up, Daniel Bryan came out and distracted him, and, you know.
Cost him a degree.
Gets the RKO out of nowhere. Oh, my God. Then a marching band shows up to usher the HGH King to the ring because, you know, God forbid he has a horrible entrance. and I can't even fault him for that because, honestly, that's Triple H's gimmick, and he allowed him to have that for a day. Can you have, like, a whole infantry of people and famous people's music? I'm surprised The Rock hasn't had, like, you know, 500,000-hour music allotted to him.
Right.
You didn't have, like, a Beatles track like, dedicated to him on the fucking You know? Michael Jackson, like, fucking Beat It or something. Like, something really, really high on the charts that costs you tons of money and rocks like I'm not coming out unless you play Beat It. You know?
Yeah, I just like, we already blew all the money on the jet getting you out here, so, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So then he comes out and he blabs and The Rock has not cut a good promo in a long time. So he did that and then danced around this title situation. They unleashed the new title.
I don't think it's that bad.
I like the new title. I honestly like the new title. I think I want to see like five different champions just to see the variations on the side pieces on the title.
If they do that, that'd actually be pretty cool.
Well, because they have the Brahma Bulls on the side caps on the title.
Yeah.
So now it's got to be the next thing is probably CM Punk, I would imagine.
Get some X's on there.
And then, X's or, like, that type of thing. Or, it'd be really cool to see that type of thing. And those are side plates. You can screw them on and off. I'm sure they can figure it out. Pretty cool. I like the look of the title. The spinner belt was cool. Spinner aside, because they really didn't spin it much. If they spun it all the time, I'd be like, get the shit off my TV. But it was a cool-looking belt. Even if they just, like, freeze-glued it the way it was, it looked like a really nice belt.
The fact they took a lot more diamonds off of it, and you can see the logo, it's a lot better. It doesn't look too cheesy and too corny. It just looks like... Okay, I like it. It looks like a big old buckle, a really big belt buckle. That's what it looks like, to be honest. But I'll accept that. I'll take it because we dealt with that for like 10 years.
The new belt is nice. I do like the new belt. It kind of looks very new age. I had to look at it a couple times because my first glance was like, it looks like some bullshit a superhero would wear. But again, The Rock is wearing it and he looks like one of these fucking superheroes with the goddamn arms.
He looks like he's about to fly away with that damn belt.
But at the same token, I'm like, okay. No, all belts kind of look ridiculous when it comes right down to a human wearing them. Unless it's wrestling, this belt looks good. I do like the new belt.
I don't mind it. I can take it. It's not even that I dislike it. This is cool.
Yeah. So that's that. They do that. They hit the music, all that bullshit. Cena comes down. He's like, I know one guy is the one I want to fight because it's best for the money and he pushes me to my limit. Then Cena's music hits and he stands there like an idiot, his fucking bright shirt. And then the Punk comes and hits him in the back with the old title because they sent it to the back. And then he lays there like the dude hit him with a fucking vehicle. And I'm just like, all right then. Like if this was a match, you would have fucking sold that for as long as the ref was down. Then you would have got up and hit two finishers and won the fucking, like, I don't understand. The cameras went off and he was still, like, cringing, like, oh, my God. He with the belt in the back. Your back is enormous. Your back is like a
That belt would break if somebody hit you in the back with it.
Your back is like a fucking meat freezer. You're really, the belt fucking destroyed your day? Oh, Jesus.
That one thing killed me is when, like, The Rock was doing his thing, like, before CM Punk and Rock's match at Rumble, he was, like, about to hit people's elbow, hit the ropes, and Punk came in and clotheslined him, cut him off from hitting Cena with it, or somebody with it, right? And he sold it like death. I'm like, a clothesline from Punk just murdered The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah,
it was sort of like, oh my God, this is the most devastating arm I've ever ran into in my illustrious career, even though I'm bigger than I've ever been.
Yeah, it's your fucking horse neck. That's right.
Just
stop it.
Your clothes on a horse, you motherfucker. Okay, you in the gym.
Like right. Little rhino's running after you, and you're going to hit it. It's going to just fall straight down. No.
So it is what it is, man. And, you know, it's just, they're building towards what they're doing. I honestly think it's going to be a three-way. They're next week. Not the Rock. Cena is facing CM Punk. From what I hear, the next 2 weeks, The Rock is off TV, and that's why they wanted to make it big with the band and all that bullshit. So it is what it is. You know, do whatever. I would think he's going to be gone after Mania. He might continue to use this as his one of his promotional tools. But he's got two fucking movies coming out. So, I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's let wrestling be wrestling for a certain extent and not just use it as a promotional tool. The Rock is, he's a legend. He's always a legend. He always will be. As soon as he's eligible for Hall of Fame, whatever they consider that eligible, I don't even know what it is.
Well, probably next year.
Yeah, this is not legitimate sports. So if they just go, hey, put you in next year, they'll put him in.
Yeah. He'll
wrestle another 25 years after that. It doesn't matter. Like, it's put you in Ric Flair, retirement match, put you in. Oh, you work in TNA now? That's great.
Hey,
all right.
Is it still? Oh, your Hall of Fame ring.
Oh, okay then. All right. Then.
Yeah, sell your Hall of Fame ring for all, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, man. What it comes down to is The Rock will always be a legend in Hall of Fame, you know, WWE Hall of Fame, Wrestling Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it. The WWE as a whole, whether it be Vince or Paul or whoever, they have a hard time disconnecting themselves from that era.
Yeah.
So they'll keep it around as long as they can. They'll bring back The Rock. They'll continue to bring back Triple H, which is a really easy thing to do. And then whoever else they can. But when it comes down to it, like I said, and like you agreed, the indies are paving their way. There is a big window. CM Punk, other than these indie, or not indie, these WWE continued legends? Who is the biggest star in WWE right now? You take out the John Cena's, you take out the Triple H's and Undertaker's and Rock's, and who's the biggest star in the company?
Punk. Easily.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing for guys who have busted their ass in this business.
Yeah.
And you guys, I mean, you got something to look forward to. You do have a top of the ladder that you can reach beyond politics. And it's exciting for me as a fan because that's the type of wrestling I enjoy.
TV wrestling is going to evolve once again in the next 10 years. It's going to evolve once again.
For sure.
It's,
and you'll have your characters.
Look forward to. Hopefully.
Characters. But it'll be the people who work for them. You know, and the John Moxleys and the CM Punks and so many other people who do it so well within their personality as well as the ring work. And there'll be so much to be had. It'll be really good. But that's more or less it as far as what we got here. Like I said, we're going forward towards WrestleMania. I got a lot more thoughts that's going to come in my coming weeks and all that. I never stop talking. Keep it that way. I have a show. But, dude, I mean, is there anything else you want to put out there?
All I got to say is April is going to be a really, really, really big month. Like, not just for me, not just for CZW. It's going to be, like, for wrestling. It's going to be that WrestleCon weekend is going to be insane. I might as well pitch some CZW stuff here. Like a lot of stuff to look forward to coming up. Like Aerial Assault featuring myself, New Flavors, hashtag Swerve, Shane Strickland, and going against AR Fox, Rich Swan, and like the new unbelievable Shiva Kid, and more to be announced, by the way. so it's not just us four. Look for new announcements to the additions to that match as well. And I always joke about this, like, oh, like, foxes, swans, goats, oh my. So that's always fun. Also on there is going to be Jun Kazai versus Masada for the CZW world title. Oh, depending if he may win it or keep it at barring the next CZW wanted event. But regardless, title change or not, it's going to be Masada versus Jun Kazai. That's going to be awesome. There's going to be can't forget Greg Excellent versus Colt Cabana.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Kill the business match.
Kill the business tour. Jesus is on Burn Your Boots tour, and Greg is on the Kill the Business tour.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Motherfuckers got the agendas. That's a good thing. See what you gotta do.
Hey, you definitely look forward to seeing me and Evolve/Dragon Gate on that weekend as well. So that's a big step up for me, right there.
For sure.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Harlem Shake?
I want to be a part of one.
I just throw that in because I thought I was going to say some shit about it, but you want to be a part of one? Do that shit tomorrow. They don't like it.
Do what?
They don't like it, man.
Who doesn't like it?
They had a video where they're interviewing people out there and they're showing them the video like, that's it. That ain't got shit to do with Harlem. I got to tell you right now. Harlem don't do that shit. That is not the Harlem Shake. They were mad as hell.
Diddy is pissed right now because, like, he had little kids Harlem Shaking in his videos in 2002.
Like a ton of white people in Halloween costumes banging each other in the air and stuff.
Here's the thing. White people couldn't do the old Harlem Shake, so they had to make something that y'all can do. White people steal a lot of shit.
Y'all
might
nuts, man. I ain't doing that shit.
People are like, man, this Harlem Shake dance is cool. Like, people shaking, they got rhythm. We can't do it, though. So in another 10, 12 years, we'll make another one. We'll make it ours.
We'll pull our Halloween costumes out the attic.
We'll make it pop culture shit. I'm like, God damn it. We can't keep anything. But, look for another one of my buddies, David Starr, in CZW. He debuted in CZW at Ascension in like a little pre-show match.
Okay.
Good luck for him because he's only a year in the business. I'm taking him around everywhere, getting him as much exposure as he can because he's a young, good-looking dude who's great in the ring, state wrestling champion. Like, amateur wrestling background, great talent, all the potential in the world. Me and DJ's project, pretty much. So definitely look forward to seeing him. And probably having him on your show, too.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Another thing I want to ask you, too, which just came to my mind because I forgot about it. What was it like training with Shane Helms?
That was really fun. And he was a really, really, really down-to-earth guy. He gave us the ins and outs on a lot of, like... really down-to-earth dude. The biggest thing we got out of it was just, like, seeing how the Hurricane gimmick and all that came about, and he just made it run, and he ran with it, and he made it work for another 10 years, which kept him financially...
Yeah.
Like, he made that into something. It wasn't like this will work for, like, 5 minutes. He had that thing running for, like, 10 years and was able to, like, make money off of it, like secure a job for a very long time. In ring, he paid attention to everybody, took time with every single person. Like, just a really genuine guy.
That was nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. One of the best ones I've been to. But, CZW is going to be having a lot more coming down there.
I'm not sure who the next seminar will be. I remember him hinting at somebody, and I can't remember the name he put out there. But, DJ always preaches, like, it's open to anybody in the area who wants to come up and train, learn. Like, he doesn't like...
Were you there for the Kevin Nash joint?
I wasn't there for that one, no.
Okay.
Of course I would have been.
I have real shoot shit on that.
A lot of people said that was really cool. A lot of people say...
I know you guys got to bring nobody, but I want somebody who's going
to... Yeah. But... Yeah, man, like, the Shane Helmsworth seminar was awesome. Like, it was funny because, like, the week before, I think it was, like, 2 weeks before, I saw him at Pro Wrestling Day, and I was like, hey, I'm Shane. He was like, hey, cool, and the name I can remember, like, he was real cool, like, dude.
I can only remember my name, so I'm glad you got it.
Right?
I remember they did that whole thing where I think it was him and Chris Daniels, and it, like one of them, I think he got arrested or some shit off of it. And they were like, back to each other, like, yo, I feel bad for your liver. Yo, fuck that shit. I drank more than you, motherfucker. And then, like, the dude got DUI. It's like, a weird Twitter.
One of those, yeah.
It's like, I feel bad for your liver. No, fuck you. I made sure your liver was dead tonight. It's just like...
It's like, oh, damn. It's
weird after a DUI.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, things happen, you know.
You say what?
I said things happen.
Yeah, you know? It does. But...
Social media fucks it all up for everyone.
It's a gift and a curse.
Sure is. Sure is. You can get your word out to many more people than you ever expected to, but in certain circumstances, your word gets out to more people than you ever wanted it to.
Yeah, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be you.
No, that's me like every Saturday night.
But yo, this motherfucker across the street, I just saw him, yo.
Yeah.
Across the street, kill somebody.
I'm a motherfucking asshole on Saturday nights. I am trying many, many beers on Saturday nights and possibly hard alcohol. So, you know, it is what it is. But, Shane, if you got anything else plugged, I think you plugged quite a bit, but anything, other random Twitter, Facebook, anything you want people to hit you up on?
Hit me up, Strickland Shane, at Strickland Shane on Twitter. Nothing much else going on. Like, look for Shane Strickland merch coming soon. I see CZW and other events coming up. Buy my stuff, support my family. I eat gummy bears. So bring me gummy bears to shows.
That's on his Amazon wish list. It doesn't involve Amazon. It just involves his face and gummy bears. So bring
just
it out.
Feed me more.
Gummy bears. Yeah.
And I'm good to go.
Absolutely.
Thanks for everybody who supports me, supports everything. Like, keep supporting indie wrestling. We're the future stars. Next 10 years, we're changing the game on what you see on TV.
And for you, you Jack Swagger fans that are still on the boat, that means one thing. He's not Muslim, because Muslims can't eat gummy bears. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Feed him gummy bears. It's fine. He's okay. He's okay.
That's the only way to get. That's the best way to get on my good.
Red,
side.
White, and blue gummy bears. He's still American. There's no hate. But yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Like I said, you're welcome anytime, dude. Keep putting it on, man. I know you got big plans in this industry that I enjoy, so.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Much appreciated.
Absolutely, man. Hit me up anytime. You know, you're welcome on anytime. Get all sorts of anger and fire and what, just
just get a bunch of shit to say and holler at me, and you're welcome on anytime, man.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Good night, man.
All right. Peace, dude.
Yep. So that was my dude, Shane Strickland. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's one of those rising stars you're going to see in the business for years to come. He's got the fire in his belly. He's going to continue to do this thing for independent wrestling and for himself. And he's going to do his thing out there. He's going to bust his ass. He's going to continue to impress you. He's going to find his spot. And believe me, you're going to hear a lot about this guy in a long time coming. This is the second time I've had him on. I'm like, sound like I have a swagger right now. This is the second time I've had him on the show, and there's a reason for it, because he's a great dude. And beyond that, he's a talented dude on top of being a great dude. Great dude is the best thing you could ever be. On top of that, he's talented. You know what I'm saying? That's a big thing. Not everyone's talented. Some people are great dudes. Not everyone's talented. This guy's talented. So look forward to hearing from more of him on my show. Great dude. You're going to see a lot of him on the indies. As far as my shit goes, all right, check out my motherfuckers over there at the Wrestling Soup. Motherfuckers. WrestlingSoup.com. They're on tomorrow night. Check out Sports Den. They're on tonight, I think. Sports Den, check them out on the Facebook page. I believe they're on the Ustream. I don't listen to that shit this time of year because I really only care about football. My dude, Nick Russell, Gran Oso Negro. I don't know if that's like racist for a white guy to say because there's Negro in there, but fuck it. Let's just cross the border. My nigga Nick Russell. That's my dude. My nigga Paul Dube, the chef. That's my dude. My nigga Roy Harmon. My dude. These are my guys. You know what I mean? Ain't shit about racism. So if Gran Oso Negro says some horrible thing as a white guy, I figure I'll cross the border and just you know. And again, there's still no racism. But those are my guys. They talk sports. They know their shit about all sports. I am so biased, it's ridiculous. Like I said, I watch football. I'm about football. My team was better than everybody on that show. So they can hate, they can love, whatever. We were the losers in the Super Bowl, but nobody on that show is a Ravens fan. So, and the majority of them wanted my team to win, except for one sad, sad Bucks fan who's not going to win another Super Bowl in a long time. It's fine. Love you, Nick. Check out those guys for sure because they do baseball talk. They know their baseball. I don't give a shit, nor no baseball. They cover hockey, and I personally would like to abolish hockey from the planet, but so many people like it, including these guys. So have at it. You know, I'm not putting any petitions to abolish hockey. I just hate it. I just can't stand it. It's soccer on ice. It's 3 points total in most games, and then people get to punch each other in the face. See, the weird thing is, it's just like UFC. They started punching each other in the face, and like, you need gloves because that's too much. And then they're like, well, you need to. Well, you can only punch each other from this position. These fucking stupid white people grab each other by the fucking shirt and just punch each other in the face from point-blank range. And they're just like, well, have at it. Okay, you almost done? All right, then. All right. You guys go sit down for 2 minutes and come back and punch each other some more. It's just, it's the most ignorant fucking sport ever. It's just, and you're on ice already, so you can ice your stupid fucking wounds off of your face because you're a fucking white people. You know? He was like, yeah, I'm fucking from Russia and it's fine and I like it punched in the face, so now I could lay on the ice and that makes my wound better. It's like your arena is set up for fucking violence. But yet they want to shove football down because it's too hard hitting. UFC, oh, you need bigger gloves. You need to stop punching and don't knee him in the face. That's too much. And don't do that. No. Let's look at concussions in football. Yet these fucking, like, half a mouthful of teeth motherfucking Canadian Russian motherfuckers are just, like, point blank punching each other in the face. And they're just like, well, man, that'll cost you a minute. Hey, by the way, that guy kicked your ass. Fuck hockey. Fuck hockey. I can't stand anything that scores under 5 points in a fucking game. Seriously, I'm a football fan and I'm a basketball fan. So, believe me, low-scoring games mean shit to me. I'm not a Jets fan. Otherwise, I'd give a fuck about 3 points. I don't, okay? I'm a fucking 5 Super Bowl-winning fucking 49er fan. We just missed the 6th. It's okay. We'll be back. And you fucking Jets fans and you fucking, oh, man. You guys with your little bullshit hockey teams that decide that, your football's not as good. Yeah, go look at your football teams and your fucking hockey teams and your 5 points on both sides. I don't give a shit, okay? Listen, fuck the hockey. I can't wait for football to be back. I'm going to put my Niners bike away next. This Sunday, okay? Okay, it's still in my yard. My big 8-foot fucking Niners bike is still in my yard. I'm going to put it away on Sunday. Okay, then I'm going to get into the basketball, and my man LeBron is going to bust y'all motherfuckers' asses, and you're going to hate. I remember when Larry Bird was good. Oh, guess what? Michael Jordan's still better. Now, right now, he's not still better. He looks like a crackhead. His gambling got his father killed, and yeah. He's a piece of shit as a person. Otherwise, he'd be the ambassador of the fucking NBA. He's a piece of shit. Was he the best basketball player to ever play the game? Yes, he was. He's also going to be dead before he's fucking 70. So, you know, settle down with the Michael Jordan is the fucking greatest thing ever. He is. As a player, yes. He holds the title as the best player to ever play the game. He is. But I'm tired of hearing this bullshit of how awesome he is. He's an asshole. His father got killed because of his gambling debt as an almost billionaire, which is retarded, which is the most retarded thing I heard ever. He fucking almost got banned from the NBA because this asshole was betting on it and decided, I'll go to baseball and go, my father wanted me to play baseball. Bullshit. You were in fucking sanction to get fucking banned and fucking taken on charges. And guess what? You decided, this isn't a good time for me to play basketball anymore. My father always loved baseball. And then you did that. And then, like, within a month of the charges being ineligible, guess what? Baseball wasn't for me anyway. I'm going back. So, wow, this is amongst my fuck. So, fuck him. Fuck all that Michael Jordan bullshit. Anyway, go Heat, go Niners, we'll leave it back. And fuck a buck and fuck a Knicks. Shout out to SportsCenter. Two Moms, One Show. Tuesday. And then, oh, I think they're doing one Friday. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, tomorrow, Stern Nation. I didn't get a chance to listen to the Howard Stern Show today. I'm going to do so tomorrow and be very happy about it because now I have 2 days to listen to. Check them out. Women love wrestling. They sure do. Check them out on Blog Talk Radio. Check them out on Facebook. Great women. Hello, I have. Am I fucking something up? Check out the Shiznet tomorrow for Yolanda and Gigi and the other fat nigga who doesn't know how to talk fucking English to people because I already put him in check once, but I'll tell you what, he's already on my shit list for some comments he made off the Super Bowl. because that dude, I don't know, man. Like, coming out and talking about smacking kids that were in the elementary school that got massacred, and you're a morbidly obese dude, I'm not so good with you. But Yolanda, Gigi, phenomenal people. Listen to this shit, isn't it? They are top-notch entertainment. You're going to hear them. You're going to hear something you never heard before, because those two are off the cuff, really live entertainment, and very, very unique stuff. This is not copy and paste entertainment, something, again, I pride myself on. So check them out. Like I said, Stern Nation, Sports 10, Wrestling Soup. Yeah, I mean, Two Moms, Yakuza. I think I got it all. If I didn't the second time, I definitely did the first time. So anyway, check it all out. Check you motherfuckers out next week. And let me see. I think I got my outro back. Let me play this and then that.
What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over.